Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yarr!
Today is August 10th, 2013, and you're listening to episode 34, Gamer X Year 1.
Hold on a minute, did you just open a can of something?
Yeah, this is actually the last of the original recipe for Locos I've been hoarding in my refrigerator since they went off the market.
Oh, I didn't realize it was going to be one of those episodes.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. As people out there in internet radio land probably guessed, this week we're going to be talking about our, you know, our rather surprising thoughts and opinions on Gamer X, the first annual, LGBT convention focused on game geekery.
Oh, so it's a reason to celebrate then.
Well, exactly so. I was going to say, you know, we've talked here a lot on the show about Podcast Cross Zone.
Podcast Cross Zone.
The panel that we appeared on with, you know, Koopa Club, Game Bar, Orange Lounge Radio / Horde House. And, you know, I have to say this episode is something of a victory lap for me personally. As, frankly, I feel like our representation at the convention went rather well. Also, you know, please be advised, we hope to have the actual audio from that panel posted in the coming days. And, you know, obviously we will be talking about the panel here on the show, so LOL spoilers
for
that.
If you told me when we started Game Buoy that I'd be on a panel at a convention, I would be like, lol, what?
And, you know, to all of you out there in internet radio land, you know, just for the sake of your comfort, we will be keeping our pace a little bit better this week than we did last week, which was admittedly a very special discussion. If you haven't listened to that discussion on Rhythm Gaming, guest starring Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, please do take a look at that.
Oh, so what you're saying is that this isn't going to be a two-part episode that basically clocks in about 5 hours when you combine them.
Yes, this is what I am promising to our listeners. With all of that having been said and done, let's go a little further in and farther up with some follow-ups.
I want to take this one because I'm really excited about it.
Brilliant, please.
Well, I'm sure you're excited about it too. We finally have heard about the first DLC patch. Well, I mean, patch package, whatever you want to call it, for Bioshock Infinite. It'll be called Bioshock Infinite Burial at Sea. It will have two episodes. The first one will have Booker and Elizabeth going to Rapture, which is, of course, the setting from the original Bioshock. And, you know, we kind of got a little... Oh, actually, ooh, I don't know if I want to spoil that, but I guess if you're hearing that there's a DLC set in it, you got a little peek of it during the main game of Bioshock Infinite, so I don't know if it's going to like kind of cut into that or whatever. But so that will be taking place in 1958, which is 2 years before the fall of Rapture. Also, spoilers for Bioshock again, sorry. But the more exciting part for me is the second episode, which will focus on Elizabeth. So you'll get to play as her and probably be super badass. I hope that you get to, like, make tears and stuff.
Yeah, that would be cool. I'm really hoping they introduce some new mechanics to really emphasize how different she is as a character over Booker.
Yeah. And, I mean, she was one of my favorite parts of that game, as we talked about during our spotlight on Bioshock Infinite. Excellent. Have you had a chance to do the arena combat mode, Clash in the Clouds, yet?
You know, I haven't. I have, you know, rather very predictably been terribly busy over the last 2 weeks, so I haven't gotten to it yet.
Me either, but I am excited for it.
Excite yet.
You want to take this one?
You know, I do. And, you know... we won't be talking about every and all updates on Geist Crusher, which is what I'm about to talk about. But this title specifically, which has been on our radar for months, just had some news come out that was just too delicious to pass up. And you know, it's funny because Capcom, who makes it, is doing a Pacific Rim crossover we talked about last week with Lost Planet 2.
3.
Oh yes, Lost Planet 3, thank you. So of course I'm talking about the gameplay mechanic in Geist Crusher where you can actually become one of the giant kaiju that you're fighting. You know, we don't have a whole ton of information about it yet, but apparently, the Geist gear that you use, the armor and weapons and what have you, will have something called the extreme form, which is basically transform into one of the kaiju that you're fighting. I'm super here for it. I love Kaiju. I love Sentai. I love Monster Hunter styled games. I love Shonen art styles. I'm so here for this game. And I will probably be telling all of y'all out there in internet radio land a lot more about it in the coming months. All of that having been said, Slagkick, why don't you take this one?
So we've been talking a lot about the Final Fantasy X and X-2 HD remaster. Even though it might have not been our most favorite, entry in the Final Fantasy series, I'm quite fond of it and excited for this. And we found out via Silicon Era that they will be rearranging the music, or remastering the music, I'm sorry. And so for Final Fantasy X, we don't know about X-2 yet, but that's cool. They use the language rearranging and remastering, so I don't know if there's going to be, like, remixed versions or if it's just going to be remastered, but either way, it'll sound and look super good, and I'm excited.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm really, really excited about that one. Next up, we have here something rather interesting. The previously Ouya-exclusive Polarity is now on Steam Greenlight, and should it pass, will be given Oculus Rift support.
Interesting.
Indeed. You know, we were just talking about how Polarity was one of the games that is currently worth checking out an Ouya for. I'm somewhat interested to see it making the jump to PC so soon, but if this great game can get a little more attention on that platform, then obviously I'm all for it.
Yep, and you know Towerfall already announced, the guy from Towerfall, Matt Thorson,
yeah.
Announced that that's going to PC too, so I'm not looking too good for the Ouya.
You know, I'm not really quite sure what that was you were just doing, but I'm still a big fan of the Ouya.
Don't get me wrong.
But, you know, obviously,
it's a little worrisome.
Obviously not everyone is going to get an Ouya, and I'm happy that these great games can be experienced by everybody. So, to me, this
worrisome.
Is still kind of win-win. I'm not that worried for Ouya. I'm not any more worried about this than I am when a game that was previously on Xbox goes over to PlayStation. Like, it's a thing that happens. It's a sad reality. And as long as people keep making games, people will come to these platforms. The Ouya isn't exactly, it's not exactly a Wii U or a PS360. It's just, you know, it's a littler guy. It's a completely different install base. And I think it's going to have a cute little cult following, of which I count myself. So I'm not super worried about
it. Yeah, I'm just hoping that we don't have to report on them in Doom and Gloom anytime soon.
Doom and Gloom anytime soon.
All right.
Why don't you take this next one?
All right, so we've talked a lot about Super Mario Brothers Crossover, which, of course, is super fun, and they have just launched version 3.0, and it has, like, a lot of new levels and all that sort of thing, but there's some Ninja Gaiden realness. Just more fun things to explore.
Yeah, and I want to take this opportunity and talk a little bit about Super Retro Squad by the same people who put this out, Exploding Rabbit.
Oh.
I was talking when we were sort of talking about Kickstarter. I was talking about how I felt like we hadn't gotten a whole lot of information from Exploding Rabbit. They've been working on communicating better with fans after realizing that they previously really hadn't communicated with
backers
super well.
Maybe they heard the episode of Game Buoy where you mentioned that.
Well, they unfortunately, the game is getting made. Super Retro Squad is getting made, but on Exploding Rabbit's website, explodingrabbit.com, they are now asking for new donations to finish the game on a faster timetable. Their current estimated finish date is now in 2015.
Oh.
They're asking for an additional $50,000 to bring that up to 2013 so that they can get people working full-time on this rather than just an hour or two a week in between jobs.
So they're kind of pulling a double fine, but a little bit more understandable.
They're pulling a double fine. I mostly feel like it's understandable. I have a tremendous like for these guys. I'm definitely in their corner. You know, they're local guys, just some 100 something miles north in Sacramento. So, you know, I want this to go really well for them. This is a game I've been super into since it was, you know, first discussed. It's very much up my alley. They in this post where they're asking for more money, acknowledge that they've also changed the game's graphical style. So rather than being an 8-bit retro game, it's now a 16-bit retro game.
Here for it.
Mining that territory in terms of art of, like, Super Mario World and Mega Man X rather than Mario 1 and Mega Man 4 or something. And I mean, the game looks great. The newest trailer where they're asking for more money, the game looks really good. It definitely looks like something I want to play super bad. I will almost certainly double dip and donate again. But, I'm reporting it here because, you know, I have been championing this project for forever since they first talked about it, and I feel a little like I needed to update all y'all in case you also got sucked in and let you know, like, this is a thing going on. I'm not entirely comfortable with it, but I still really want to be on these guys' side.
Well, you know, the only thing I love more than 8-bit retro is 16-bit retro, so...
I feel like we don't get a lot of that, so...
And I don't know why, because, like, Mario World and Mega Man X are two of, like, the best games ever, and also have amazing art assets, so...
Yeah, I could play Mega Man X over and over and over for the rest of my life, so... that's really, I mean, that's kind of all I have to say about it. Just, you know, this is what's up. This is a thing that's happening. And, you know, if you really want to help see this project come along, load up their website over at explodingrabbit.com. If you think it's a sham or you think it's super unpleasant or bad, there is some deep, dark corner of my mind that agrees with you. And I'm just trying not to give it voice because I want to stay positive and I want to have faith. You gotta believe.
I gotta believe.
Yeah, that. next up on the roster here, so to speak, although actually quite literally also, I have news that J-Star's Victory Versus will have added to its roster Yu Yu Hakusho and characters from Hunter x Hunter.
Cool. It's interesting. Cool. It's interesting to see some of these, I don't want to say lesser known animes, because these were still...
How you gonna call Yu Yu Hakusho a lesser known anime?
I'm just saying it's not like Evangelion or something, you know?
Well, I don't know. Maybe 20 years ago, were you an adult watching Japanese animation then?
No, but were you an adult watching Japanese animation 20 years ago?
No, but I still know my history.
I'm just saying it's interesting to see characters like the main dude from Yu Yu Hakusho alongside Ichigo or Monkey D. Luffy.
Yeah, you know? you're not strictly speaking. I mean, I was going to say you're not strictly speaking wrong, but then I realized that I would be judging something that is an opinion of yours on an objective basis, and that wouldn't be polite. I appreciate what you're saying, and I see it, and although I don't agree with you, to me it's perfectly normal to have these characters crossing over. If it's weird to you, it's weird to you. I think that says more about how long it's taken for Yu Yu Hakusho to come out to the U.S. Because, you know, obviously it had been a huge cultural thing in Japan, like a whole huge franchise or whatever in Japan for literally decades before we got it. So I just think that might be coloring your opinion of it, because I would not call it a lesser than. It's very much was a pillar for its time.
All right.
Can you take this next one?
Yes. So...
Got thirsty.
Oh, you thirsty bitch. If you are in Japanese arcades...
Four Loko is awful!
If you're in a Japanese arcade, and you like your Guilty Gear Accent Core Plus... I'm sorry, your Guilty Gear XX Accent Core Plus machine, it will soon be upgraded to Guilty Gear XX Accent Core Plus R. No, I read that wrong. So, this is a patch for PS3 that will patch Guilty Gear XX Accent Core Plus to the current arcade version in Japanese arcades, which is Guilty Gear Accent Core Plus R.
The thing is, I heard you saying it, and I just really wanted to let you finish.
I'm sorry, I just am getting so confused with all these names that actually Guilty Gear Xrd is actually manageable for me now.
Okay. TLDR for those of you out there in internet radio land. Guilty Gear XX Accent Core Plus is getting a patch on PSN for Guilty Gear XX Accent Core Plus R, which is the current version in the competitive scene. This patch will be coming over to the Xbox 360 as well at a future, currently undisclosed date.
You should have just taken that follow-up.
I needed a drink.
Of Four Loko, which was terrible, apparently.
Rude and hateful. I think that about wraps it up with all of these follow-ups. I think it's time for...
News. 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 Oh my god. News. So, a new color has been announced for the 3DS XL, and it's a black 3DS XL. That's cool. You know, I kind of would have preferred a different color, or maybe something like a Super Couture Eevee 3DS Special
Edition. Oh, wow, yeah.
XL, but, you know... it's, you know, the classic look, so...
Yeah, and this is, you know, as we record this, this is actually coming out tomorrow alongside Mario and Luigi Dream Team.
Oh, so yeah, you know, if you want an XL and you're going to pick up Dream Team, you know,
might
not
be
a bad idea.
Might be the way to do it, yeah.
If you, especially if you have, like, a black Wii U, a black PS3, a black 360, and you want all of your electronics to match. Which is not a, which is a, which
there
is,
are probably yeah. some people that want that. So this is your option. This of course is going to be sort of, standard price points of $200. And again, you know, as of the time of this recording, in stores tomorrow. So I'm sure you could pick it up by the time you've heard this.
Yep.
Let's see. On a somewhat similar note, we have word from Capcom that Mega Man 10, Resident Evil 6. Oh, I thought there was a third game in there. Oh, there is! Oh, more than three.
Yeah.
Delightful. Alright. Resident Evil 6, Mega Man 10, both of which I mentioned. Also, Devil May Cry 4, Dead Rising 2, and Super Street Fighter 4 will all be in a pack called the Capcom Essentials Bundle, later this year, which collects five of the publisher's PlayStation 3 releases.
That's a pretty great deal, although wasn't Resident Evil 6 the one that was very problematic?
Yeah, there's a lot of issues with Resident Evil 6 on pretty much every possible level. For $60 for these five games, that's, you know, you could probably just put the disc aside and not touch it. Well, still getting a deal!
Yep. This is kind of an interesting tidbit. There is a new Mortal Kombat game in development.
Indeed. According to Mortal Kombat Legacy producer Lance Sloan, this was, of course, one of the live-action projects in the Mortal Kombat franchise, a movie specifically. It's apparently going to be designed to match up with the launch of the new game. Obviously, since we don't currently have news of a new Mortal Kombat that would be coming out on that timeline of the next, you know, year from now or so, you know, logic dictates that this is a new Mortal Kombat game that's in development. So, yay!
It's funny that we're excited about that these days.
Yeah, but, you know, I have to say that reboot that the franchise got back in 2011 was really good. They recently brought that game to Steam, in fact, and I've been playing it a little bit.
Yeah, you know, NetherRealm did a good job with that.
They really did. They turned it into a more or less competitive game. Plays, you know, good. I'm here for it.
After what had happened with the friendships and the babalities and all that. Although, like we said on our fighting game episode, you gotta love those.
Babality.
Me.
What? In my head, that's what babies sound like.
Well, especially one synthesized through like a Sega Genesis chip.
Let's see. Oh. So, this is actually rather very big news. Monster Hunter Frontier G is going to be coming out later this year for PlayStation 3 and Wii U, according to last week's Famitsu.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, the game requires monthly fees. It is a pay-to-play game in Japan. The actual download of the game, the download version, will be free. Somewhat interestingly, the physical copy of the game will still be sold at a full price point.
That's interesting.
It is. Now this is a news story. You've almost certainly heard about this. Short version of this story. Batman Arkham Origins is going to have a multiplayer mode to the game. This is absolutely normal. Pretty much every AAA game these days has multiplayer something crammed into it somewhere. But really what makes this story pop, and in my case crackle and sizzle, is that the Wii U version, which I was going to buy, is not going to have any multiplayer support at all. And they're just nixing it because the player base isn't there, so they want to focus on the PS3 and 360 versions. And while on a strict business level I can sort of understand the point of that, you have lost a sale, so have fun with that. Screw you guys, I'm not really here for that.
I can smell your Four Loko all the way over here, by the way.
Can you really?
Yeah, I can.
Sorry about it.
So this is kind of interesting. There's a arcade game called Pokemon Treta that I'm actually not familiar with, but it was developed by Nintendo and Marvelous AQL, and they involve collecting physical discs called Treta. And it's going to be coming to the 3DS in form of the Pokemon Treta Lab. And it kind of is this like thing that you hook onto your 3DS and you scan in your Treta. And that's cool. You have to, download the main system, but you can pick it up if you're in Japan today for only 3,800 yen. I was not aware of this. It just seems like there's lots of like little things going on with, Rumble U finally making its way over here and. So I'm wondering if we will see Treta, but, knowing Nintendo and knowing Pokemon Company, any opportunity to sell more Pokemon merchandise, probably gonna happen. But for now, only for Japanese listeners. In other news, I should have asked, do you have anything to say about that?
Not particularly.
Okay, I didn't think so. So, in other news, we're getting a new Breath of Fire game.
Yay!
It's an online mobile game.
No.
Way to go, Capcom. It's going to be released for smartphones, tablets, and PCs in 2014. It's a touch RPG.
Yeah, I literally don't know how to deal with this. Like, I have basically wanted a new Breath of Fire game every day for the last 20 years. Well, okay, maybe not 20 years, but like 10.
12 years?
12, yes. Like, I have wanted a new Breath of Fire game every day, and it's like, this got announced, and it's like, nobody asked for this.
Well, it's Capcom.
And I mean, the obvious flip side, and I'm gonna try to spin this into a positive, because you've probably heard a lot of negativity about this out there on internet radio land. I want to give you sort of a different spin. I'm sure that a lot of people are complaining about this. I've seen it myself on message boards, on comments, on posts on blogs. I just want to say, while this does feel a little bit like a kick in the face to those of us out there with a lot of love for this franchise, I'm not really sure there's any other context under which we'd be getting a new Breath of Fire game. We don't, strictly speaking, know that it's like a social game, which is, of course, where we're all jumping. Or if it's, if it's just an original for, mobile phones, real 16-bit style JRPG.
Huh.
And, I certainly am hesitant to break out a flag and dance and cheer over this. I have to say, when I step back and think about it, I want to believe that the reason they gave this game the number 6, Breath of Fire 6, an official series designation, is that Capcom realizes that there's a lot of us out here that are still hungry for more games in this franchise, and this is just the only way for them to get the budget together to do it.
Well, a lot of people flipped out when Final Fantasy XI was announced as an MMO, not an MNO.
Yeah, it turned out to, defy expectation and be a really stupendous example of the genre.
Yeah.
I would say probably one of the pillars of the genre, frankly.
Okay. So, anything else to say about that?
No, I mean, I communicated my initial shock, but ultimately when I stop and think about it, I need more information before I get too mad, and I'm tentatively curious to see what Breath of Fire 6 is really going to be like as a game.
All right. So GameStop has a deal that is going to be going on. If you buy the Xbox 360 version of Call of Duty Ghosts, Madden 25, did I just say Madden 25? I meant Madden 25. FIFA 14, Battlefield 4, or Assassin's Creed 4. So if you get that within the first 30 days of the game's releases, and you want to upgrade to the Xbox One version, you'll get a $50 trade-in credit coupon.
Cool!
Yeah. Except I don't plan on playing any of those titles on Xbox One.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I'm sure there are some people who do, and for them, this will be very useful, so that's
although,
A+.
We don't have any mention of a PS3, PS4 similar deal, but maybe that's coming, but maybe not.
If they did one, I would take advantage of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely.
Let's see here. We have... Ooh, this is a tasty one. Zatanna has been announced as the next DLC character in Injustice: Gods Among Us.
Who?
She's really cool. She's the daughter of Madame Xanadu or something.
Who?
DC magic-using, awesome girl, often has had crossing over stories with Lucifer and Sandman and Constantine and that whole Vertigo universe. Although I guess that was all pre-New 52. Crap, I don't really know what to say now.
Oops.
Oh well. Yeah, cool character. I'm really excited for it. I'll buy it for sure, you know. I'm not a big DC fan, so if we get some angry tweets about, like, that's not really the best way to describe her, I'm okay with that. Just, you know, be aware, I'm not claiming to be super knowledgeable. I read Vertigo books, and that's it.
So, next up, we've got news of a very Game Boy title. This is...
I wouldn't call it that, but why don't you explain?
By which I mean left of center.
Okay, it is that.
Senran Kagura Bust burst. Oops, but you'll understand why I said bust by accident. Is going to be coming to North American and European 3DSs this fall as a digital release. And it's a, an action-adventure game with two shinobi oriented academies, and they're kind of rivals. But it has outfits being shredded from their bodies and exaggerated breast physics. So, kind of problematic, actually.
Yeah, it's...
kind of
it's...
problematic in a dragon's crown sort of way.
Yeah, it's extremely problematic. It's, I mean, you know, it's a fan service game. It exists to cater to the same market as mouse pads that have wrist guards that are shaped like, you know, breasts. Not really my thing. Super objectification fodder. But my understanding is that there's a pretty solid game somewhere in there, much like Dragon's Crown. So, you know, it's worth noting.
Yeah.
This is the sort of thing that, like, normally I'd be like, yeah, more games being localized. But at the same time, it's...
problems.
Yeah, I don't know if I wanted that to happen with this one.
Mm-hmm. In happier news, do you want to wrap us up here?
No, I wouldn't call this happier news at all. So we have another mobile phone social game being announced. This one is Shin Megami Tensei, a Devil Collection. This is, of course, going to be a card game based on the Shin Megami Tensei franchise, wherein you collect and fuse and create demons, which are cards. As in, you know, a card collection social game.
Yeah, I mean, I know that we're like, oh no, another card-collecting mobile social game, but it's Shin Megami Tensei.
Yeah, if this comes to the U.S., I'll play it for sure.
I just meant that it was more uplifting news than
Kagura
Senran physics.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you there. I think that's about it. Do we have anything else?
Nope, but we do have something super exciting to talk about.
Oh yeah, do we? I mean, there was a Nintendo Direct this week, but I don't really have a lot to say about it.
I guess maybe it wasn't the most exciting Nintendo Direct, but it's Nintendo news! Yay!
Woo! Yeah, someone asked me what I thought about this specific Nintendo Direct, And I just sent them an animated GIF that is all over there on the internet called itsfuckingnothing.gif. That is basically how I felt about this one. Pardon me for the F-bomb.
So the Art Academy Sketchpad app will be launching on Wii U this week. And, of course, that's the little quote-unquote game that will let you make digital paintings.
Yeah, you know, it's worth
mentioning.
Just
minus the Academy part.
This actually launched yesterday. People who are listening to this episode can download this now.
Yeah, sorry about that. But yeah, you know, honestly, for not to discourage sales of Art Academy U, which is coming eventually, but for a lot of people, this may be enough. But, you know, one thing's for sure that Miiverse, I need to go log on to Miiverse when I get back home, because I'm sure that the art is already, like, popping up all over the place and just, like, blowing us away.
Oh, yeah, it's gotta be, for sure. Like, that has definitely gotta be a thing that's currently happening.
I can't wait to log on and check all this out. I didn't even realize that was yesterday, so... Yeah.
Excellent. Let's see. You know, another thing that was talked about, and, you know, this is obviously scraping the bottom of the barrel for news... But Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds, will apparently have two Triforces.
Oh, you mean like the Triforce of Wisdom and the Triforce of Power?
No, like another set of Triforces. I don't yet know if it's going to be like weakness and, I don't know, like greed or something. They're apparently like a dark reflection of the Triforce that exists in the Dark Realm. I don't know. I don't know how that works in the canon. I just want the game, and I thought it was cute that they did a whole segment about this in the Nintendo Direct.
Well, you know.
Like, y'all are really devoting a section of your Direct to the storyline in Zelda.
So, some exciting news. Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney is going to be coming to North America in 2014. And Europe. I'm sorry, Europeans. It will also be coming to you. We don't know yet whether it's going to be physical or digital release, right?
Yeah, we don't know that yet.
Although Professor Layton's pretty popular enough to still receive physical releases, right?
Yeah, they have.
But
those series have quite a few fans.
Ace Attorney, that's sad.
I think that really says more about Capcom right now than it does about Phoenix Wright's fan base.
Yeah. Thanks, Capcom.
In absolutely non-news, they also announced that Luigi will be in Super Smash Bros. On Wii U and 3DS.
Oh, it's a me, Luigi!
And, of course, because you might want some actual news with that announcement, on the Smash Bros. Page, on the, you know, the Miiverse where he does his daily screenshots, they posted a shot of Pilot Wings and indicated that we had a new stage coming. Somewhat interestingly, the first comment on this post on the Miiverse page for Smash Brothers was about someone who was curious why Minecraft was being represented in Smash Brothers.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it, and of course, you know, Smash anything we're going to report on. So as much as I call them out for announcing Luigi... even if they hadn't announced it properly, I'm sure we would have mentioned it here. So, you know, joke's on us.
So, do you want to take this news? Because I know that's really exciting
for you. I literally
cannot. Japan is getting more exclusive 3DS XL special editions. They are both One Piece themed. And it's alongside One Piece Unlimited World Red, which is, of course, we've talked about the Monster Hunter sort of clone. And one of them looks really cool, has all of the characters, not all of the characters, but a lot of the characters, kind of with, like, red panels, looks like very much like manga-ish. And then the other one's a cute little thing on a pink 3DS, and it's super kawaii. You're the One Piece fan, you'll have to tell me what's more of what's on these.
Yeah, that really cool red and black one is really cool, and I want it super bad.
It's officially known as the Luffy Red.
Okay, yeah, Luffy Red looks awesome. Whatever this Chopper one, the pink one with all the hearts and hats.
What is that little thing?
That's Chopper.
Oh.
He's a mutant deer that's also a medical doctor.
Oh, he's cute.
Yeah, he's... Yeah, I love Chopper.
But yeah, is that all the crew of Luffy's crew on the 3DS? I don't...
Yes, it is.
What is their ship called? I'm just trying to make you talk about One Piece.
I'm not going to talk about One Piece on the show. I was looking, like, where do you see a ship on here? Because it could be, like, thousand... Like, it could be the Sunny or... Whatever. There are multiple ships in One Piece, okay?
Hey, it's pirates.
Yeah, no, I'm here for that.
You're just the kind of man that I thought. You know, pirates are great.
You just try so hard to make that work.
Would you like to take this next one?
I think it's a really interesting point. It's not strictly speaking related to the Nintendo Direct, but this is really the place to talk about it.
It's not really news, but...
Iwata-san, after the Direct and after their financial results hit earlier this week, which, you know, obviously weren't super pleasant for... current state of the Wii U sales. You know, Iwata-san basically made a statement to the press that he doesn't leverage Nintendo properties on non-Nintendo platforms because he isn't concerned with just, quote-unquote, some short-term profit. Ultimately, he believes that the long-term game plan that Nintendo has is sustainable and profitable, and that kind of stability is what they need to sort of deal with, you know, economy and slumping sales, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The part that I thought was really interesting was when he was talking about game design innovation really coming best when you integrate hardware and software development together, you know, sort of in that standard Nintendo style. And I have to say, you know, for the most part, I agree with them. Again, this was clearly a pretty jank direct, if I can say so bluntly, if I'm reporting on things like this. Slykick, I think you have one more interesting story for us, though.
Yeah, so I don't know how many of you are familiar with the title known in Europe as Jam with the Band, which its original title was Daigaso Band Brothers DX. It was a rhythm game. And it's getting a spiritual sequel in the form of Band Brothers P. And the cool thing about this one is that it can turn players into Vocaloids. You take a photo with the 3DS camera, and then record your voice, and then it's going to use the Vocaloid synthesizer and make a Vocaloid of you. And part of me is like, this game's never going to come to the U.S. because Jam with the Band never came to the U.S. But, you know, the Hatsune Miku... game probably is that out yet?
That is out this month. I don't think it's quite out yet.
I know it's coming soon, but so you never know. You know, maybe 2014 is going to be about all the 13-year-old girls on Tumblr talking about Vocaloids. I mean, they have to talk about something besides soft grunge, right?
Did you really, girl? And you know, last but certainly not least. Flying in the face of this rather underwhelming Nintendo Direct, yesterday, Friday, Nintendo hosted and posted a wonderful 101 Direct, which primarily detailed the combat systems of the game and discussed a little bit of the story of the game. But then at the end, surprised us with news that a playable demo would be up on the eShop yesterday.
What?
Yes, so a scant few hours after learning about the game and seeing all of the reasons why we all should be so excited for this game, not that we needed them on Game Buoy, the game was able to be played via demo on the eShop, and it's freaking awesome.
I haven't had a chance to, but as soon as I get home, I'm going to go download the demo, and then while it's downloading, go look at the Miiverse art for Art Academy Sketchpad, or...
That is hashtag good life choices, my friend.
Yep.
All right, well, that having been done, I think we're done with the news. It's time for our newest segment. Crossover Corner! Okay, this isn't actually a new segment. We just had three newses at the end that were all about game crossovers.
Did you just call them newses?
Yes, I just decided that the plural of news is newses. Shut up. So, let's see. Would you like to take this first one?
Yes, Ragnarok Odyssey Ace is going to have lots of crossovers, as you might have guessed.
Detail them all.
Gravity Rush, Dead or Alive 5 Ultimate, Soul Sacrifice, and not only that, but Dokuro, Picoto Knights, and Grandia.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Grandia?
Say that again, the one before that?
Picoto Knights?
What was the one before that?
Dokuro?
Okay, we've had enough.
Are you just trying to make me say Japanese again?
Yep.
And Princess Punt and Puzzle and Dragons from the Gung-Ho folks.
Exciting.
And, oh, there's an actual full list here. There's Emile Chronicle. Some of these titles are like, what? I don't even know. Sengoku Tenka Trigger, Crazy Tower, and Tosu.
Girl, this episode is a hot mess. We are awful.
I'm not the one drinking 4 Loko.
I have had like 2 sips. This can is like
Yeah, and
full.
It's 4 Loko. You're probably fucked up right now.
No, I'm not.
Do you want to take the next one?
I do. Soul Calibur, Sophitia, is going to be joining Warriors Orochi 3 Ultimate. You're probably familiar with Warriors Orochi 3, or, well, I should just say Warriors Orochi as a series, as it is one of those Musou games that actually has quite a large following worldwide. And the next iteration is going to have several, you know, crossover characters, including, you know, Sophitia, as I mentioned, from Soul Calibur, Sterk from the Atelier series, Ryu from Ninja Gaiden, Kasumi from Dead or Alive. So, you know, it's actually... sounds really exciting. I'm not normally into these Musou games, but I might have to grab Warriors Orochi 3 Ultimate.
You had way less crossovers to read.
Okay, well, I'll do this one too, then. The Lord of Vermillion series, which itself is already a rather popular crossover series. This is, of course, a card game in Japanese arcades that use real physical cards to interface with the game machine. We've talked about this previously on this show. When they've introduced Persona characters and Blaze Blue characters and King of Fighter characters. Well, later this month, the newest version is going to be hitting Japanese arcades with characters from Seiken Densetsu 3, Romancing Saga, some generic Final Fantasy enemies, including a Cactar. So that's super awesome. Marlboro, you know, Omega Weapon, grenades, Alexander, Fenrir. Yeah, I mean, just tons of them. So, I'm really excited. Lord of Vermillion is one of those things that, like, I'd really, 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 really like to get into this game, but I'm not familiar with the single arcade, stateside that has this game. If you know of one, you should please, 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 please let us know. Maybe drop us a line over at GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org. You can send us a mail at mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
Mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org. And let us know where you found it. I am desperate to play this game.
And with all of that crossover fantasticness, we have to get a little dark in here, because it's time for...
Doom and Gloom.
So we're going to kind of try to run through these quickly.
You know, in fact, I am setting... your good old friend Mr. Timer from last week.
Oh boy.
Do you want me to just take
all of these then and speed through them?
You take all of them, I will comment as appropriate. You have 5 minutes from now.
Alright, BAFTA award-winning writer Corey Barlog from God of War 2 is back at Sony Santa Monica and working on something freaking huge.
This is interesting, of course, because Mr. Barlog had previously been spotted over at Crystal Dynamics, working on the Tomb Raider reboot, directing cinematics.
Interesting. And a funny thing is that they made a typo and said his name was Balrog in this article.
Oh, funny.
Trion Worlds is closing their San Diego studio and appointing their new CEO as the ex-COO.
Oh, and interesting.
Of course, that studio down in San Diego developed Defiance.
That's interesting. Long term, I wonder what this means for Defiance. I know well, I can't say quite a few people, but I know one or two people that play that game.
Yeah. So those peeps down there will be coming up to the bay. Hopefully not, like, too many people will be out of work. So
1 minute.
All right. Speaking of Bay Area companies, Valve has severed ties with their Bay Area team. And, of course, this was just a small little development team that they established last year. Include people from Blizzard and PopCap. And those peeps are going to just be doing indie games as the newly christened Temple Gates Games. So best of luck to those guys. And it doesn't seem like it was too much of a nasty severance. Just, you know, going different ways.
Yeah, reading on about it, it really sounds like they left in an amiable place. You know, this team, they're getting to keep the software that they were working on with Valve. Valve's letting them keep it. They're letting them keep the space they were working in. It definitely sounds like they just had two differing visions and just it wasn't working out. But no hard feelings. Best breakup.
So this isn't doomy or gloomy, but XSEED is looking to bring more games to the PC, especially JRPGs.
Woo!
So, you know, we kind of talk about that the RPG genre, JRPG genre is kind of in a doomy, gloomy state, so it's good to hear more JRPG anything.
I strongly agree.
In something very doomy and gloomy, the UK retailer Asda has announced that they're no longer stocking the Wii U.
Yeah, that's a big deal. This is a rather major retailer basically saying, we're not carrying this product anymore. You know, this definitely stings since Pikmin 3 finally came out this week. Wonderful 101 is coming out next month. In fact, in the UK, it's coming out later this month. So it's really kind of curious to me that right as this system finally has the opportunity to gain momentum, people are cutting its feet off, basically.
Yeah. So, Zynga has ditched a couple of execs as it tries to get back to basics. Ain't no other man. I like that Christina Aguilera album.
Can you not?
Of course, Don, it's our gay episode, part two. Don Matrick is, of course, the new CEO. We had a good laugh about that. And, you know, the most sad part of all of this Zynga transition has been the OMG Pop closure.
Yes.
So, shedding a tear for them. Draw Something was actually fun, so.
Yeah, I really loved that game. I, you know, stopped playing around the same time you did after the Zynga acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm absolutely gutted to hear that they are closing OMG Pop.
Yeah. Something that's not doomy or gloomy, Puzzle & Dragons has pushed Gunho sales for up to $763 million for the sales through June, from January to June 2013, which is a 946% increase year over year. Wait, and then there's like 2,609% increase. Basically, Gunho is doing well, so no...
Super well.
No worries, hopefully, for doom and gloom from them. Facebook is getting...
You have 30 seconds left.
Facebook is getting into mobile game publishing.
This, you know, that story tells itself.
Take-Two has posted an increase in revenue.
And in related news, BioShock Infinite sales passed 4 million. So when you consider that Take-Two posted $143 million net revenue in quarter one and raises their yearly outlook, that's one of the big titles you can look at in explaining why that happened. And why don't you take this last one?
Certainly. You know, we talked last week about Guitar Hero. I'll be very briefly. Oh, my God. I have, like, how much time?
You don't have time.
Oh, well, Guitar Hero veterans are forming the interactive fitness studio Blue Goji. And there we go. It's smartphones and tablets on treadmills, elliptical machines, and stationary bicycles.
They are an interactive fitness company that aims to make cardio exercise a social experience with games. So that's cool, you know, gamification is a huge topic right now.
Yeah, what was that one, website that was, like, basically gamifying, the exercising and,
Fitocracy. It was Fitocracy.
Alright, thank you.
Woo!
All right, one more segment to go before our Gamer X discussion. So, let's roll in the deep.
Rumor has it.
First up, we have news that Nintendo has registered a new Eternal Darkness trademark to cover digital sales and products.
Well, you know, something something Shadow of the Eternals.
Indeed. You know, it's really impossible to say what this means. Maybe they're just, you know, covering their butts in case they do need to pursue litigation against Shadow of the Eternals. What on earth are you giggling
about?
As if
Shadow of the Eternals needs any more troubles coming their way.
Oh, gosh, right. Obviously, I'm secretly hoping that this will be part of, you know, some theoretical virtual console library where we can play GameCube games, because I'd really totally absolutely buy another copy of Eternal Darkness despite already owning it. Superb game, one of the best in its genre, absolutely.
Here's some exciting rumor. Well, it's not really a rumor, because Square Enix has registered a trademark for the, quote, "A World of the Versus Epic," which of course appeared at the end of the Final Fantasy XV trailer. The rumor part is kind of that, you know, hey, this means that there may be more games in the 15 franchise. I mean, kind of wouldn't be a big surprise. That's kind of Square Enix's MO these days for Final Fantasy.
Yeah, this has really, to me, seemed like a thing that was almost certainly going to happen. I've had no doubt in my mind that we would be seeing Final Fantasy 15, you know, turn into a sub-franchise, much like Square Enix attempted to do with Final Fantasy 13, although that has had more or less imploded now that Versus 13 is its own game, not related to 13.
Yeah.
So, I would not be surprised if down the line we see a trilogy of 15 game of Final Fantasy 15.
15 games.
That is not what I meant, but this is Square Enix, so I wouldn't put it past them.
Honestly, 10 of them will be mobile social games.
Hey, gotta make back that money on these AAA games.
8 of the 10 games will be card-based mobile social games.
Ask the Tomb Raider guys. You can sell 4 million units and still go under budget.
Oh. Well, with that, I think it's the time to start what we've all been waiting for.
It truly is.
The Gamer X discussion!
Yeah, we're not gonna bumperfy that. This is just a one-off. Sorry. So, you know,
I wasn't trying to make it a bumper. I was just being like, hey!
Is that what you think you were doing?
That's what I know I was doing.
Sorry about it. So, we were gonna start this off with a section that we had called What is Gamer X? An oral history of Gamer X from Kickstarter to Japantown. This segment is being put on hold, and we will be covering it in a Game Buoy Micro segment later this month, along with a super special secret bonus guest. So please look forward to it. But, for the sake of framing our discussion, I do want to read a little bit of Gamer X's press materials on the off chance that you've not a clue what we're going on about.
God, are you from Mars or something?
So, what is Gamer X? GamerX, previously GamerCon.
You should read this as a book on tape voice.
Like an English person?
Sure.
GamerX, previously GamerCon, is the first gaming convention with a focus on queer geek culture. Gaming is the largest entertainment industry, one that is currently... One that is larger than music and film. Until now, there has never been a safe space for queer geeks and their friends to come together, discuss queer theory in games as a community, and party as one. Gamer X is a convention, a weekend of fun, socializing, and educational panels in the heart of San Francisco.
And that pretty much sums it up. So that was our Gamer X discussion. Thank you so much for listening to our episode, and we'll see you next week. Obviously, I'm trolling, but really, that does sum up what Gamer X is. And, I mean, really, it really delivered on that. So, let's keep talking about this.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me that you said that, because I really want to address, you know, there were a lot of rumor has it before the show that, you know, this show was going to be really poorly organized, that this show, it was going to be just an embarrassment. It wasn't going to occur.
Or, just for a bunch of gay guys to go and have sex.
Or that it was going to be an excuse for gay dudes to hook up. And I have to say, on every possible level, I feel like this show was, by far the most well-organized, well-presented, well-prepared, least gross first-year con I've ever been to. It did have some issues, which we will talk about in an as honest a way as possible. You know, I have to admit, I am a little biased. We had a really phenomenal experience here. Mm-hmm. It meant a lot for us as a show and as people who put on a show. Like, me as an individual person, the show meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
It also meant a lot to me as Captain Spike of GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
So, you know, I'm a little biased. But I have to say, overall, I could not possibly have been happier for the rumors to have been wrong, the naysayers to have been naysayed themselves, and for the convention to have in fact been a weekend of fun, socializing with educational panels in the heart of San Francisco.
Indeed. Something else before we jump in that I kind of want to address is that I feel like there was a lot of like questioning about like, oh, if this is GamerCon, well, GamerX, then why aren't more of the bosses of Honor queer? Because, you know, we had John Patrick Lowry, Ellen McClain, both voice actors, and Zach Wiener-Smith from Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal. And, you know, the thing is that we're lucky as, like, and when I say we here, I mean Captain Spike and I and the gay geek community. We're lucky to have allies like these people that are, like, visible in geek culture and able to bring awareness to these issues. And, you know, so there's really no place to say, oh, they have no place representing the gay geek community, because, you know.
You know, I want to build on what you just said, so I'm sorry to cut in, but I'm not going to let you end your thought. To me, the thing, in fact, this was what I liked the most about GamerX, and it's what I really hope to see built on GamerX 2 next year, or GamerX 2014, whatever they call it. I was really happy that rather than just being a gay gaming convention, it really felt like a sort of a celebration of inclusiveness in games as a community and an industry. I really felt like there was a real celebration of trans folk in the community.
Mm-hmm.
There was a celebration of gay, straight, bi. It's just everything.
Yeah,
everyone was there. Everyone was having a really good time. Everyone was being very positive.
The spirit of this event was to make, you know, trying to encourage the culture of gaming to become more safe, open, and welcoming for any sort of gender or sexual diversity. And, you know, I think it's wonderful that we had such prominent allies. Of course, the other bosses of honor were Matthew Michael Brown from the Tester Season 2.
Gamer from the Test, yeah.
And the awesome Anna Anthropy. So, I mean, so, like, people are like, oh, there's no queer representation. Like, yeah, there totally was. And, you know, just a little footnote, hopefully people like John Patrick Lowry, Ellen McClain, and Zach Wiener-Smith stepping up and being like, hey, we're supporting this, might encourage both other allies and other queer members of the industry to kind of be like, hey, we want to kind of be the spokespeople for this and, you know, kind of lend their voice to the cause, so. Anyways, that's my little spiel on that.
Yeah, no, it's one that I largely agree with. I must confess that even I had some amount of trepidation regarding the orientation of the Bosses of Honor. But, you know, once I really saw it in effect, I saw what it was all about, I actually felt really I did a complete 180. You might as well just call me at Microsoft because I was absolutely on board. I saw what they were going for, and I really agreed with it. I really, even now, strongly feel like the show was strengthened by being about unity within diversification and acceptance and inclusiveness rather than just focusing on only, like, gay.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I don't really know how to phrase that, how to frame that quite correctly.
No, I follow. I mean, it really brought visibility to our community. And, you know, I hope that if there's someone out there who's prominent, Chris Metzen.
who
might want to come out of the closet. I'm not suggesting.
You know, I'm actually going to skip ahead here on our show notes right now. Because I really want to talk about media response in the context of what you just said. We'll still get to the rest of our points, but we're just going to talk about media response.
I just need to
right
say
now.
Really quick that I am not trying to spread any Chris Metzen's gay rumors.
Just stating that you hope that somewhere within him there's a little bit of at least questioning. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and that...
That you would like to experiment with him.
The actual point I was trying to make is that I hope that there may be someone kind of prominent out there in the industry who might be like, hey, I want to represent here, and... Whether they're queer or not, but, I mean, that would be great if we had more queer heroes.
I'm just busting your chops. I do. I really hope that especially now that the concept has been proven, which is, of course, something that I'll come back to several times throughout this discussion. Now that the concept has been proven, I do hope that next year everyone is falling over themselves to come and present at this wonderful convention. I hope that everyone wants to be a part of standing up and saying, I believe in inclusiveness in this industry. I believe and support, you know, representation of people of all
and
orientations.
I really hope that, you know, someone at Ubisoft or someone at, God, what, Activision. I'm like, what other major Western studios are there? They're all
Activision is an indie studio now?
That's right. That you might be like, you know, hey, I'm queer. I want to help try and push our company forward with queer. I mean, we'll talk about companies, big companies, pushing forward for inclusivity in a little bit. But, that's what one of my hopes is that.
So can I just talk right now about how, of all media outlets, the outlet that I thought was most inclusive in their reporting on Gamer X was Kotaku?
Well, that's because it was by that one guy who does, like, really great articles about, like, he's done a lot of the articles about black issues in gaming and other things, so.
I have to say I was absolutely pleased as punch. They ran a story about, you've probably almost certainly seen it now, the gay proposal that happened
yes.
at Gamer X. Ellen McClain and a portal gun and just this really weepy sort of heartfelt
I cried.
Moment. I cried too. It's sort of why I'm trying not to go into specifics because I want that. No, I'm joking. So, and basically Kotaku did not make a big deal about the fact that it was Gamer X, that it was a gay proposal, that it was, you know, ooh, two boys, ooh.
Just like, oh, look what Ellen McClain did for
yeah,
this.
Just straight up, look at this adorable proposal. And, you know, there was some dirtiness and some unpleasantness in the comments that got swiftly moderated.
Good job, Kotaku.
And I have to say, I kind of love that one of the first comment here is someone saying, originally I was confused because there was no girl. Then I realized, wait a minute, things are changing. This is going to become more normal. And I became excited. Smiley. Like, there are people out there who are not exposed to this sort of content, and they're seeing it now, and it's becoming a normal thing, and that's awesome. Like, they're becoming comfortable with it.
Yeah, and that's a reason to celebrate.
It absolutely is. And for their part, Kotaku is doing that right. I may have a lot of negative things to say about Kotaku. I may have a lot of strong feelings about sort of these really borderline slanderous, attention-grabbing headlines for hits. But when it comes down to it on this issue, I really thought that they reported on their Gamer X stuff in a really classy way, and truly, I applaud them for that.
That was an actual clap, not a golf clap.
Yeah, no, truly. Can you please take one? I've talked too long.
Sure. I thought that the GameSpot feature was really well done. Again, it was not, trying to be like, oh, you know. I mean, it was actually written by a queer member of GameSpot, so it was just, it was very much done like in a narrative sort of way, and really, really just highlights what made this special, and just, you know, gave it a really personal touch. So we'll link these, we'll link you to these on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
You're a little late on that.
I bet you say that to all the girls.
Oh.
Hashtag you nasty.
You nasty. So, yeah, so please check these out. These are, I mean, it's great that there is coverage here. And, you know, we'll also link a couple more articles that we think are great reads, including one that's very near and dear to us.
Absolutely. I just, you know, I feel like we have to get this show on the road. I promised the listeners that we wouldn't have another 4-hour episode, and we're pretty deep in already.
Do we need to get the timer going again?
No. But let's talk about highlights from the con specifically. I am talking about parties and Pandora, the first two P's.
All right. So let's talk about that VIP party, because we were at the VIP party.
VIP party. How many times can we say VIP party?
VIP party.
Okay, let's not find out. So
I just have to say the first thing about the VIP party is that Matt and Casey were there representing GamerX, and just I was really impressed by the way that how professionally they presented themselves, you know, just really representing the organizers behind this really well, and the community really well. So props to that. Anything? Do you have anything else to add in that regard?
I actually thought that they did super well. I thought they were really spot on. In fact, you know, they seemed so professional that, being rather quite frank, while I had wanted to approach them and talk to them and, you know, if I might be a little blunt, do some networking for the show, they were just so professional and on absolutely another stratosphere. They really represented themselves well. They were really well put together. And I really think that their presence and the way they carried themselves elevated the atmosphere there, sort of in their representation of the con.
Definitely. I would like to highlight that Zeke Mystique did a Game Boy chiptune set, not to be confused with a Game Buoy chiptune set.
Yeah, there was apparently some discussion on how similar the two words are.
And
which, you know, is the point.
It was really great, and he's also a total QT to boot.
Nah, he fine.
We'll link you to his SoundCloud account on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org?
Because, really, really good chiptunes.
Yeah, that was something, you know, there's a handful of chiptune artists that I can really get into. Obviously, I'm sure some of our listeners just groaned. I'm sure we have some chiptune enthusiasts out there. But I mostly can't get super into it. I do freaking love Anamanaguchi.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's a couple of other artists and names out there that I'm familiar with and really into. But for the most part, not my bag. I guess some people, you know, we fight dragons. I was super into them before they were a thing, and, you know, I don't know if they are a thing now, but I'm still pretty into them. They're also all, you know, kind of cute, so. Anyway!
They have a, side note, they have a 3DS swap note.
Yeah, there. I have it. I did a Kermit flail when I got it. I was so excited. Oh, man. I'm going to have to listen to that Weezer cover they did now.
Oh, my God, yeah. Didn't Super Best Friend of Game Buoy Nintendug send, I think he's the one who sent me that.
I had already had it, but if he did, that's awesome, and I give three cheers to Nintendug.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not too familiar with who these guys are, but they're kind of adorable.
Yeah, no, I am a big fan. Anyway, moving forward, Zeke Mystique was awesome, though. I really dug that music a lot. I have loaded up his SoundCloud several times since the party. Super into it, mm-hmm. So that was a really great choice.
I also have to share a little tidbit. I
Please
walked
do.
Past him on day one of the con, like official day one, and I was like, ooh, hey. So if you happen to be listening, Zeke Mystique, you're super cute.
I feel like it's unlikely that he listens to us, given that we have like two listeners. But I hope that he does for your sake, because superb musician. And actually, no, just for his sake, I want him to know that we think he's super awesome. He is rad
and
as hell.
And super cute.
Moving forward, you know who else was at the VIP party was Pandora.
Pandora Box.
She did, of course, as one might have guessed from previous appearances, showed up in her very best Alice Madness Returns drag.
Yeah, I mean, of course, she's the Drag Race veteran, and I just have to say, we're kind of doing a little bit of a mini reading this fundamental right here, talking
our
about
our long-since-forgotten Drag Race podcast.
You know, she's the Drag Race veteran most known for being a part of geek culture because, lol, Jade Jolie. Sorry, girl.
Why are you always trying to bring Jade Jolie up?
I just threw shade at her, though.
Good.
I
mean, no, that Game Buoy is no place for that.
You know, so it was a natural fit for her to be involved with this, even though with some of the nastiness after RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. You know, I was excited that she was going to be there because, you know, I was like, I could kind of move past that. And although the part about her being part of geek culture, I kind of heard some reactions from the meet and greet, well, not meet and greet, but the little panel Q&A thing that she did. So I'll talk about that in a minute, though. I need to talk about the night. Do you have anything to say about your anticipation of Pandora's presence at the con? Like, how did you feel beforehand?
You know, I'm sort of, I don't want to make this a show about Drag Race and drag queens. We have literally done that before. I have very mixed feelings on Pandora because I think she's an incredible performer that could do a lot more than she typically ends up doing.
So you were kind of like, oh, cool,
so
it's Pandora.
I was trepidatious, but still anticipating.
So let's go ahead and talk about Pandora at a...
Well, there's another P that comes in here, and I can't discuss Pandora's performance without discussing this P. You know, parties, Pandora, and problematic.
Yeah, you know, let's just give a little disclaimer here. We're not trying to be too social justice warrior, and, you know, maybe we're taking this too seriously, but this was our thoughts on it.
Well, you know... And I want to say, because this is something that Anita Sarkeesian in the
Tropes versus Women in Video Games
fame,
was at the convention, and
I wish
I could have tracked her down because, like, I am such a fan.
I would have liked that too. She has said in her videos something that I think is really valuable. Finding something to be problematic and recognizing it as such doesn't mean that you can't enjoy the art on display. But enjoying the art on display doesn't mean it's healthy to just overlook that something is problematic. Like, identification of these things and looking at what they're doing and what they're potentially damaging is a really important part of reader response to art.
Yeah, and just as a little preface, before we talk about what we found problematic, yes, you know, Pandora's kind of sarcastic. That's kind of her whole shtick. But we need to get into this, so let's just dig in. So,
well, you know, it's, again, drag culture, I know that it's a culture all its own. It's often very risque and politically incorrect. And so it's probably a little bit sort of...
Here's the thing, though, and we will get to the actual comments that were made in a minute. But even if she didn't intend what she said to be toxic, you know... I just don't think it was very clever. And, you know...
Ah, that's a read.
RuPaul has a famous quote that throwing shade takes a bit of creativity, being a bitch takes none. And this event was an overwhelmingly positive and uplifting event overall, GamerX. And I just don't think that, you know, there's a time and a place for being a shady lady, and I don't think that this was the appropriate place to be making comments like, oh, well, you all came out of your basements finally.
Now, you know,
you're just a long grinder.
You know, I have to tell you, those comments didn't get me so much.
No,
she made jokes about lesbians.
No, I was going to get to that.
Oh, lesbians play games. Ha.
Or I don't know what you do with each other. Ew, vaginas. That was the one that really was problematic to me.
Yeah, that I really had a really strong issue with that. I am a gay man. I'm sure I've made a vagina icky joke at some point in my life. But a convention that is supposed to embody, like, goodwill and inclusiveness and everyone having a safe space, regardless of gender, this is the wrong time to make your joke about how vaginas are icky and you want to be surrounded by cute video game nerds.
Yeah, I mean, and I tried to step out of my Pandora box for a minute and think, you know, maybe I just have to disconnect Pandora, the character, from Michael, the person who is under the drag. But, you know, I just don't think it was in the spirit of the night. And, you know, I mean, unfortunately, that kind of influenced my decision to not catch her later act. Although I did,
which apparently I heard was really quite good.
Yeah, I heard she did a great lip sync to White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane.
Oh, I love that song.
And also did a lip sync to Sweet Dreams, the Eurythmics cover that Marilyn Manson did.
You know, I would say that I love that song, but y'all already know that. Especially those of you that follow me on Twitter, where every other tweet is about Marilyn Manson.
Twitter, at Spike Point.
No, I have way too many awful conversations with you and the folks from Koopa Club and Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio. We're talking about Water Sports World.
Wait, when were you talking about that?
Yesterday.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so only follow me if you don't mind insanity or don't follow those guys. Otherwise, just be aware, I'm a huge Marilyn Manson fan. Even in 2013, I don't care. Huge
yeah,
fan.
But anyways, back to Pandora. I want to touch on what you said about earlier about GamerX being more than just, oh, it's gay gamers. It was about inclusivity for all in the gaming community, including women, you know, hashtag one reason why. So I think that it was really
antithetical?
Antithetical, thank you, to this conversation that, you know, the folks behind GamerX were trying to put out there. And, I need to say that I'm not saying that, oh, it was a poor decision on their part. Like,
No, not at all.
And, I mean, maybe we are being too social justice warrior. Maybe we are taking this.
You know what? I'm gonna put my foot down here and say, I don't feel like I'm being too social justice warrior to say that she stepped over the line with her joke about ew vaginas.
I'm just saying that.
Every other part of this, I get it. Drag queens are risque. They push boundaries and blur edges. I get it. I appreciate it. I like it. But there are certain jokes that, especially given the current climate mm-hmm. of the industry, are just not appropriate to make. And I really feel like that is one of them. And, if that joke was directed at a specific person, which I feel like it was, I am so sorry to that one specific person. I have no right to apologize on behalf of Pandora Box, but if you are that person, I felt bad for you. Like, I felt wounded for you, and I am so sorry.
If Captain Spike and I felt grossed out by those comments, then, you know, I don't want to speak on behalf of lesbians, but, you know, I just can't help but think that there were, even if there was just one lesbian in the room who found that problematic, and all the other lesbians in the room were okay with it, even if one lesbian,
if one person was excluded from this safe space
because of that comment,
no joke has an acceptable number of laughs in response to justify that.
Like I said, when it came to meeting up with our friends from Koopa Club or watching Pandora's act, I was like, you know, I'm sorry.
It was superb. The drink tickets got us some really good, strong drinks.
Why don't you share what you drank?
So I was just asking for a Bud Light, and the bartender there was like, you're going to waste your free drink voucher on a Bud Light. And I'm like, okay, well, just give me something, whatever you think is good then. So she was like, okay, tequila. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure.
Did you get up on the bar with your white shoes?
I didn't. In fact, I was expecting like a sunrise or something, but no, it was a wine glass full of tequila. So I drank it, you know, as you do. And that's probably why I got a little drunk.
Oops. But, yeah, I just have to say, I don't mean this as LOL gays, because, you know, I don't want to be that sort of person. But, you know, we gays do love our drinks, so the drink line was sure a bumpin'.
Yeah, no, the drink line was really rather quite magnificent.
And I understand,
so many people.
I understand that later in the night, there was lots of dancing. And so, I mean, it just really, on one hand,
well, I came back in briefly. I went back in toward the end of the night, and it was really good vibe. Lots of people in there all having fun.
Even if I didn't personally stick around, of course, I also do not do well in big crowds. So, you know.
Yeah, there's that too.
It sounded like it really was a great, fun safe place overall, despite Pandora ickiness.
Yeah, I just want to make something very clear, something that I just realized I really need to point out to our listeners, and I'm going to try to move this forward after this, but I really strongly feel like the fact that this is what we're sort of looking at as the problem of the night is really a strong sign of how much they got right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so many things were spot on that there was one comment that stood out as being really inappropriate, because everything else was perfect and really special. I cannot think of the last time I really felt that comfortable, you know, both as a gay man and as a gamer, really just expressing both of these things without having to feel like, oh, I bet, you know, people are probably judging us, I'm gonna get jumped, etc. I've talked here on the show about how, you know, over the years since coming out, I've had a lot of issues sort of finding a safe space and sort of being in a place where I can sort of be myself and talk about as nerdy a stuff as I want, or right, as gay of a stuff as I want, and be actually accepted. I did find that space even there on that opening night at GamerX, and it was very special.
So I'm going to wrap this up with saying that I'm not really sure what levels of passes are going to be for GamerX 2, but I will definitely buy a VIP pass,
if
or whatever equivalent there is.
If there's another boss mode VIP pass next year, I will absolutely throw down for it.
And I
don't expect that they'll do the Kickstarter route again, but if they do, throwing down another $100 or more is no question.
This was
such a valuable experience.
You know, next year I'll hopefully step out of my shell a little bit.
There was one other party, the GamerX concert. I was there for maybe 5 minutes. It was super cool, and the music was super loud, and there were so many people in there. It was like a real concert, and I had to leave because I couldn't do it.
Yeah, as much of a outgoing, sassy gay pirate as I may be on air, I'm actually not a big crowd person, so I unfortunately just kind of chilled out in the lobby. But the thing is that
I have to admit, in part for me, I had better places to be.
Which is no shade.
Oh gosh, no, that's no shade. That is no shade at all on the con, and every bit of hey toward the people that I ended up spending the evening with.
Oh yeah. And I just have to say, even if for people who are just like, you know, I've had a long day, I'm gonna just, you know, hang out right here in the lobby for a little bit, just being around like other gamers walking by, or, you know, someone on their 3DS being like, oh, have you played the new Street Pass games yet? Like, I mean, that's really the true con experience. It's not whether, oh, I went to the gamer concert or not.
I agree with you.
But, you know, I would have liked to have seen Zeke Mystique, because I believe he was doing another set for the gamer concert. And
yes, that's my understanding, and I understand that it went really, really well.
Yeah. Fingers crossed that maybe next year they can get Anamanaguchi.
I would just take Zeke Mystique again.
Ooh, girl, you know what I was about to say.
I don't.
I was like, ooh, I'd take Zeke Mystique. Hey.
Oh, gracious. You are
a
pervert.
I'm being inappropriate here.
Well, let's move forward and talk about the another set of P's. Panels and Podcast Cross Zone.
Oh, I'm very familiar with one of those.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the one you're less familiar with? You are on a timer. I'm not going to tell you how much time you have.
Oh, dear. So
it's getting that bad already.
I just have to preface this with, you know, GamerX had a really big turnout, which is awesome, but it unfortunately meant that I didn't get into some of the panels that I had been looking forward to. But I just have to say that it's really cool that EA and BioWare, which is part of EA, you know, made their presence there. They had a lot of presence there, you know. We'll link you to a article that Joystick did that covers the main panel that they did about inclusivity in games, which, you know, has really been a big push that EA has been trying to do since, you know, the whole Gay Planet thing was kind of a controversy, but they've really been really the only big Western developer who's been trying to contribute to this discussion and taking us and our concerns seriously instead of just giving us more dude bro explosion games, because, you know, except hot dude bro explosions, but, you know, even if you think Mass Effect is like a dude bro explosion fest, hey, that game, like, you know, had queer elements and all that sort of thing. So, you know, EA, BioWare may get their fair share of criticism, to the point where BioWare did a panel about how to provide feedback to developers, because LOL, BioWare fans are the worst. But I just think it's significant that EA is rad because they're trying to bring this dialogue into the sphere of gaming and acknowledge their missteps, like with the Gay Planet. So, you know, they had an event earlier this year in March in NYC that was talking about, you know, how things can be better in the Western gaming industry. And the other big one that I wanted to talk about was local...
Good, because your time is running out.
Oh, time is running out.
You don't have time for music references.
I don't have time to sing news. Local awesome game developer Anna Anthropy was there. And I just have to say, if you haven't played Dysphoria before, it's a really special experience. You know, some people are like, oh, it's not a game. It's just an interactive flash thing. But, you know, fuck people who are trying to determine what's not a game and what is a game.
Thank you. Can I get an amen?
Can I get an amen?
You don't have time for music references.
And I think what's really cool about Anna is that not only is she proudly representing the trans community as a gamer and a developer, but, you know, she's also really trying to encourage people to follow in her footsteps and, you know, kind of buck the trend of the dude bro explosion fest. Hey, I'm kind of talking about that a lot. But, you know, trying to encourage people to tell their own personal stories. And she was like, hey, okay, here's how I make games. Go make your own games. And San Francisco Examiner ran a really cool piece about Anna and her panel. So we'll link that to you on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
And, of course, we already talked about the GLaDOS proposal, Ellen McClain, and, you know, the only thing I'm going to say about that, we already kind of talked about it, is that a bear proposed to his boyfriend bear with Ellen McClain's help, and now they're going to be husbears. Because we're bears, 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 bears.
Also cubs and pups.
Cubs and pups. Cubs and pups.
All right. So okay. There's one panel in particular that I would love to tell all you lovely folks out there in internet radio land about tonight.
I wonder which one that could be.
I'm talking, of course, about the podcast CrossZone panel, upon which we appeared along with members from Koopa Club, Orange Lounge Radio, Game Bar, and Horde House.
Yes.
You know, so we appeared in the...
Did you talk about our super special guest moderator?
Oh, gosh, I didn't. Our super special guest moderator was the illustrious and rather well-known...
And charming and handsome.
Charming and handsome as hell, Fox Van Allen from WoW Insider and Techlicious.
Yep.
You know, we talked a lot about sort of what our shows are about, why we podcast, and frankly, why all of our listeners at the panel should be podcasting as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the next step in this conversation. I even cut you off because I feel like this point is worth making. If you are listening to this podcast right now,
make a podcast.
If you have a voice and you have something you want to say and you feel like your views and your perspectives are not getting shared and you want to share them, then I think that you should mobilize and start a podcast too.
Like Orange Lounge Radio says, every gamer has a voice.
Yeah.
And you know, that was kind of to back up just as a quick second. That's why I think Anna Anthropy's panel was so cool, because she's trying to do the same thing with game developing.
Yeah, absolutely. I would never put myself in the same sentence as her, but if I did, I would just say that I understand her desire for people to reach out and create content for themselves if they're not getting the content that mm-hmm. they need and want. Because, you know, I do my best to talk about import games. I do my best to talk about weird JRPGs and what have you. I have my obsessions, One Piece, Smash Brothers, Geist Crusher. And maybe you don't like any of these things, and you're just listening to this show because you have nothing better to listen to. I really hope that's not the case. But if it is, download Audacity. It's an open-source program, and just record a podcast.
We might have to do, like, a GameBuoy micro about how to podcast. Or
well, there's already been some discussion with these other guys about doing a workshop of some kind, and I really feel like that would be super useful. But, you know, it's like I said in this panel, our first episodes of Game Buoy, you know, the ones that sounded really awful.
And thank you for those of us who have been here since the beginning.
For those of you who have been here with us since the beginning, we salute you.
Ahoy! This is the Game Buoy podcast for video gaming. Hey!
You know, we recorded those things literally on my phone, recording in memo mode.
On your iPhone.
On my iPhone, yeah. Because I felt really strongly like I wanted to get out there. I wanted to get my voice out there. I wanted to talk about these games that no one's talking about, defend design choices that no one is defending, and call, you know, some journalists and news sites out that everyone is just obeying blindly and reading and cheering and page clicking.
Yeah, and you know,
and if you have needs and desires like this that you want to see represented but aren't, raise your voice and use it, because I assure you, podcasting is one of the more rewarding choices I've made in the last several years of my life, and I really cannot strongly enough encourage you to join in this pool of really incredible human beings that I've met through podcasting.
And, you know, speaking of those incredible human beings, one of the things that we share with Koopa Club, Orange Lounge Radio, Horde House, and Game Bar is that we're not corporate. We don't have to be like, oh, we're going to talk about how awesome Call of Duty Ghosts is, because we've got sponsorship from Activision to blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't really know what goes on behind the scenes of these corporate shows. But, you know, we're out there putting our voices out. And even if we aren't necessarily talking about queer issues on every episode, it definitely informs how we interact with the medium. And it, you know, influences just how we interact with each other, Captain Spike and I. And I assume that Koopa Club and Game Bar can say the same thing, being all queer podcasts as well. So, you know, I think it's important not only for us in the queer community, but all of you out there, all of our allies, because I'm assuming that anyone who is listening to Game Buoy who's not queer is an ally. I really hope you're not a homophobe.
You know what? If you are a homophobe, you should talk to me. Not like in an awful way. I'd be really curious to see what you get out of our show, even as a homophobe. I don't know what it is, but it would probably be good to serve up more content that's
and
agnostic.
And to continue this conversation that's happening in gaming.
Yeah, and that, you know, said, hopefully I can also change your mind about the gay thing, but you know.
Well, you know, the point I wanted to make is that
I'm like, basically, I'm not going to brainwash you, but let me brainwash you.
You know what, the way that you'd say this, no matter gay, straight, or bi, lesbian, transgender life, you need to make a podcast and put it online.
What the living shit did you just do on air? I feel like I need a rolled up, like, newspaper to slap you with.
Do not treat me like a pup. Anyway. Okay, do you have anything else you would like to say about Podcast Cross Zone?
So, yeah, I have a lot, actually. I mean,
we don't want to spoil it for them, right?
Yeah, you know, I won't talk specifics, but I have to say again, you know, we had a really absolutely astonishing turnout. A lot of people came out. We had some really incredible Q&A with the crowd that I really felt like we really connected with
the
crowd.
And I'm going to get to some of those people in a minute, but keep going.
I feel like we made a lot of really valuable connections with new listeners. And I have to say, I have severe anxiety about a lot of things. I was trembling so hard before we went up and presented, that I could not open my Altoids tin.
I was a little nauseous.
That was definitely ranks on one of the hardest things I have ever done in my life. And I've presented PowerPoints to some of the most powerful judges in the state and country, but, talking to gay people about gay representation within the podcasting space and why I feel that it's important for everyone to get their voices out there, that's terrifying to me. So, I was really nervous, but I have to say the community at GamerX was so welcoming and so positive and so uplifting.
I just have to say,
I feel an absolute renewed and restored and increased, absolutely leveled up in terms of how I feel about this podcast, about speaking to you all, and about just being an active part of this community, which is something that, you know,
something really special. And I just
I
have
think
to say,
it's really special.
that I'm really humbled by the warm reception and the turnout that we got. So I really, deeply from the bottom of my heart, thank you to all of you who came out for that, if you're listening.
So yeah, this is a little bit of a victory lap episode for us. We will be back to our high horses and riding hard starting with next week's episode. But for now, this has just been such an incredibly uplifting and touching and important experience for me to have had within my life and my sort of second gig as a podcaster, but my life, me as an individual, this was really incredible, touching and uplifting. So
I agree.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart,
and
people.
And a special thank you to Fox Van Allen. Special thank you to all the Koopa Club guys, even those who weren't able to make it out for the con. Thank
and
you.
Even those who were at the con and provided us backup support just by being there for us, or Renee, you know, manned the recording deck, the soundboard, so that we could get our recording of this show up, you know, at a future date. Of course, Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio and Horde House. We have Jason Toops from Game Bar, Game Probe.
Yeah, so we won't talk too much, but I mean, I think...
Girl, this is Game Buoy. We're probably going to talk way too much.
No, I just have to say, I mean, we're not going to talk too much about the specifics, but I think out of everything that happened at Gamer X, and one thing I'm noticing is that a lot of these, aside from, like, you know, the news articles, a lot of what I'm seeing are, like, very personal narratives about experiences at Gamer X. And that's one of the things that I think is so special, is that everyone had a different personal experience. And for me, it was connecting with these people, spending time, and, like, just these connections that we've made with these amazing guys out there, just coming together and really kind of representing a microcosm of the larger community, what the con did for the larger community, just bringing people together, connecting. And if I'm rambling, it's because I'm really emotional and passionate about this.
Well, that's why I'm not stopping you. I'm really glad you touched that note. You know, I've had some amount of concern over the last week as I've been trying to structure this episode. You know, I like to approach these show roles with sort of a more academic, critical perspective.
Yeah, definitely.
And my feelings on Gamer X are largely personal and emotional.
And I think that's what's so special about,
well, I agree. Convention. That's why I was happy that you said that, and that was why I wasn't going to stop you or even be catty about you going on. Because this was something that was really special. It was really important. I was lamenting, you know, the loss of our oral history segment at the beginning of this discussion when this opportunity for a guest popped up. It was simply too advantageous not to jump at the chance and bend over backwards and change my show notes here. But I think it's going to turn out for the best. We'll do the historical discussion later on in the week or month, and really focus right now on just the fact that, like, I was talking earlier about how special this has been and how special all of this validation and encouragement has been. I was literally touched. I was, my eyes were watering. So, this has just been really cool. It's been really special, and there's no context under which I can possibly say, if you are listening to this show, gay, straight, bi, anything, I don't care, no matter who you are, if you get anything out of this show, you would also get something out of this convention.
Yes. And can I just say that this is the only convention that I can think of that, instead of just being, oh, comic books, oh, Blizzard games, oh, video games, while all of those may bring together some sort of community, I don't think any convention out there has been so focused and, you know, positively, you know, motivated to bring together the community, like, as its main focus, instead of, like, oh, it's BlizzCon, and hey, you may meet up with your guildmates there, which, not to shade BlizzCon at all, but, I mean, I just think because the heart of Gamer X is to bring people together, it's about the people first and the gaming second, I think.
Yeah, I'm not gonna contest that. I have to admit, I haven't been to BlizzCon. I've watched coverage. I've heard a lot about it from people who have gone. It doesn't sound like the experience that I had last weekend. So
Not to invalidate that
experience. No, not to invalidate it at all. I simply meant that
this
it's
is everything that
it's
I
like
want
comparing
out of
pots and pans to dish soaps and fruit. Like they're not even the same thing. How could you?
Like now that
that made sense in my head.
Now that the convention has come and gone this year, I'm just kind of still like, I want to go back. I need to hop in the TARDIS and do it over again because there was so much that I wish I could have done, and I'm just still like.
I have lamented several times this week the lack of a rewind button or fast forward button to either go back to the beginning of this con or get to the beginning of the next. I cannot think of anything else in the world that I've really ever felt that way about. So I salute you, GamerCon. MattCon.
GamerX.
Nope, GamerX. I want to give a particular shout out, of course, to MattCon, whom I've had pretty much the utmost faith in for forever. Tremendous job pulling this all together. Of course, Tony Roca.
See, I was trying to figure out like if it was like Almond Roca or Roca, but I...
Oh, if I'm pronouncing it wrong, I'm super sorry.
I'm super sorry, Tony, but I read it as Roca, and it makes me think of Almond Roca, and I like Almond Roca.
Do you know which one they prefer?
I'm not sure of the pronunciation. I'm sorry. Okay. Casey Brown, also doing an awesome job out there. Really, I just saw her, like, running around, working hard, and, like...
You know, also all of the volunteers.
All the volunteers.
You know, and I was understood that they put all of the volunteers through a one-hour training on gender identification and pronoun use and how to approach people without gendering them in case, you know, because they were that sensitive and they took it that seriously that all of the volunteers and security were educated on how to deal with this specific crowd.
I mean, that's amazing.
It's truly, you know, I'm not
surprised knowing how, you know, progressive this group of people is, but it's still amazing.
You know, it's easy to look at some of the darker spots of this convention. It was a first year convention, as mentioned, so it was crowded. The halls were somewhat poorly rooted. A friend of mine who, as far as I know, has never in his entire life had any kind of panic attack or anxiety issue went into a full-blown panic attack.
I was getting a little claustrophobic, but I mean, we can't personally fault.
There was, you know, the schedule of events, though it was posted online a couple weeks in advance, was not a part of the official program and was instead a separately printed insert within the pages. But these are all things to me that are minor on the scale of how incredible this was. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just really was strong on that point. Please comment. What did you have to say?
And I was just saying that, you know, I was getting a little claustrophobic, but we can't fault the organizers for that. I mean, because especially with what a phenomenal job they did taking something that was just an idea and a dream and like putting on this fucking amazing gathering of people all united for, you know, trying to further this conversation. And also, you know, so I mean, there's an element of like, you know, social justice to it, but also just fun. So I mean, you know, it was serious and also not serious, if that makes sense.
No, but...
And I think it's a really unique blend of, you know, really pushing the conversation forward, but also a more personal thing.
Yeah.
I'm just repeating myself now.
You are, and this is the point where I cut you off.
Well, can I just take a few moments to give some shout-outs to the lovely, beautiful, handsome, intelligent, amazing people that we met, some of the people I got to meet at Podcast Cross Zone afterwards?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd like to give some shout-outs to Ricardo from Still Alive Studios, whose game Son of Nor had raised over $150,000 on Kickstarter. And is not only that, it's now on Steam in or on Steam Greenlight. What's the proper...
It's up for Greenlight. I'm not
up
sure.
Up for Greenlight, whatever
preposition. I'm not sure what the proper... Yeah.
If it's preposition's the right thing, oops.
Continue.
Anyways, it looks fantastic. Please upvote it. We'll have the link on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
I'd be a little quicker on that uptake. The Gaming Hipster, who has an awesome blog focusing on underappreciated gems and left-of-center gaming.
Also, he's kind of hella cute.
He's adorbs. And, you know, for those of you who are exhausted with the cookie-cutter AAA games out there, go check it out at thegaminghipster.com. There's a link on GameBooey.org.
GameBooey.org.
You're totally in line with our mission here at GameBooey. And last but certainly...
Yeah, no, he was probably like the third or fourth cutest guy in that room.
Aside from you being the top three. I'm not saying that I think you're cute. I don't think you're ugly, but you're like my BFF.
You need to stop. I'm about to reach over this desk and slap you.
I don't think of you that way.
Girl, I almost slap you.
I'm saying that you think of you that way. Anyways, last but certainly not least...
Wait, are you calling me conceited?
Last but certainly not least, Joy from the Geek Charisma Podcast, which is a podcast that's everything geek with discussions on movies, DVDs, video games, conventions, and comics. And which will join our normal shout-outs next week, but this week it's a very special shout-out. And she was super sweet, super supportive. I had a lot of great conversations about, you know, kind of the trials and tribulations of getting podcasting started. And on top of that, she had the fiercest Sailor V cosplay.
So good.
And I kept bumping into her a couple times that evening, so it was so awesome to, like, you know, like, hey, and, you know, meet someone new. GeekCharisma.com to check them out.
Yeah, I have a show note here that says that we're supposed to wrap it up and talk about our feelings, but that's kind of been the last 30 minutes of our lives. Unless you have anything else to say, I think it's time to close the book on this one, say thank you, see you next year, and move on to the rest of our show.
I did have a few more things that I had to say.
Then get them out quickly, because we're about to cross the two-hour line.
It's hardly our longest episode.
That is not a valid excuse when you're talking about GameBooey. Stop!
You know, but I guess a lot of what I wanted to say we did cover, you know, that queer issues,
I'm
characters, and stories... Excuse me, I'm trying to make some serious points here. Queer...
That's a first.
Queer issues, characters, and stories need to be more prevalent in gaming. And, I mean, there needs to be more diversity in gaming, period. Gamer X was really trying to push for this. And, you know, we talk about the safe space thing, safe space for queer geeks and queer gamers. You know, we... For one weekend out of like the rest of the year, we don't have to worry about being called a fag. I usually don't use that word on air, like with, you know, the homo planet thing. But, you know, we don't have to deal with the homophobic rhetoric that's so prevalent in the gaming community. And, you know, for those of people who are asking, like, oh, why do gay gamers need their own convention? It's the whole thing of, like, why do gay people need their own parade? You know, like... They're going to keep asking that, and I think we kind of covered why, because, you know, we need the safe space. We need to be able to feel proud of who we are. And, you know, I just really, the last thing I want to say is just thank you to everyone involved in GamerX for encouraging queer gamers to just get out there and make themselves heard. And hopefully, you know, people out there in the industry, too, are going to step up and kind of become ambassadors for our community, so... Yeah. Did you have me on a timer there?
You know, I didn't. I pantomimed that I was going to, but in truth, I have too many good feels about this experience and this event, and even if this show maybe is the least valuable one of all of them to our listeners, it means a lot to me, and that's probably worth something.
Yeah.
So, moving forward, I think it's time for...
I said hey! What's going on?
So I've been playing a game this week. You might be familiar with it. It came out on the last day of Gamer X. I've been playing Pikmin 3.
Oh, yeah.
It's super good. I love it. The difficulty level is just about right. It's more complex than either Pikmin 1 or 2 in many ways.
Yeah, I've heard.
I put quite a lot of time into it already. In fact, I was really, you know, I was still really crazy this week, sort of dealing with sort of the aftermath of Gamer X, and, you know, all the feels sort of took a lot out of me. So it was really sort of nice to sit down and have a real meaty Wii U game to play on that gamepad while curled up on the couch.
Oh,
and
nice.
So I took advantage. I'm really enjoying it. Superb game, and I would recommend it to anyone who has an interest in the franchise.
Awesome. Anything else that you want to talk about?
Not really. Oh, Team Fortress 2. We've been playing a lot of Team Fortress 2 lately.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that on your Twitters.
I've been playing with Phil over at Koopa Club and Rob from Orange Lounge Radio and Horde House.
It's a little podcast cross-zone Team Fortress.
And
featuring John Patrick Lowry... from the Boss of Honor of Gamer X.
Yeah, you know, if you...
You've been playing a lot more Sniper. Is that what he's called, a Sniper?
So, basically, you should add me on Steam, user Suedehead Spike. We do have a GameBuoy.org community on Steam. You should join if you feel like it.
GameBuoy.org community on Steam.
And just, if you ever see me on Team Fortress, shoot me an invite or join game, because I love it, and I love playing with, you know, these guys from other podcasts, and I'd probably love playing with our listeners, too.
Indeed. So I have a What's Up Gamer X edition, because one of the things that I did at Gamer X, of course, was get a lot of street passes. Thank you so much to all of you who helped me finally beat Find Me for the first time. I haven't even gotten to Find Me 2 yet. I'm super embarrassed about that. Special shout out to Jeremy from Koopa Club, who helped defeat the final ghost.
You're the best, Jeremy.
That was actually at the Proto Men show, which was awesome and kind of a sub note. But so I got hella street passes, and also I have to apologize. Anyone who I rated as just okay, I guess. I'm so sorry. I was trying to street pass as fast as I can. But
you know, I've seen a lot of people tweet exactly that after Gamer X. It's really funny to me.
I don't want anyone to feel offended, and especially because I had the little GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
Shout out in my little greeting. Is that what they call it? I don't know. Anyways, the Street Pass Plaza games that, of course, you could get for the $15 four-pack DLC or $5 individually. I did the DLC pack, four-pack. And I like them all a lot. I'll start kind of in order from least, which is Flower Town, which is cute, but, you know, it's just kind of like, oh, okay. And then the rest I really like a lot. I'm going to lump together Warrior's Way, which I just think is really, really fun but simple. But, you know, kind of you have to decide, hey, am I going to just go in for it or wait until I gather more people? So really fun. I've conquered a few countries already. And thank you to all of you who helped make my army grow. Make my monsters grow.
Make my monsters grow!
We're going to watch some Mighty Morphin Power Rangers
tonight.
That was
a great Rita Repulsa voice. I really love... God, why do I want to call it Luigi's Ghost Mansion? What's it called? Because I always just call it, like...
I always just call it the Tetris Mansion.
Oh, because the little blocks that you get are in the shape of Tetrimenos, right?
Do you call them Tetrimenos? I've always called them Tetrads.
They're actually called Tetrimenos.
I don't like that at all.
That's like an actual mathematical term for a four-sided domino.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No. Google it.
Every Tetris fanfiction I've ever written has just been invalidated.
Well, your Tetris fanfiction doesn't hold a candle to the Tetris musical that I've been working on for the past 20 years.
Have you really? Because I really did write some Tetris fanfiction.
No, I really have.
You can't see it on the radio, but I am Kermit flailing right now.
It's pretty much like my life's work. Oh my god, don't break your wrists.
So that's Monster Manor?
Monster Manor. Yes, it's fun.
All that build up for that. I feel like we're really, really doing our listeners a disservice.
My favorite is MeForce. Because the thing that's so cool about MeForce, which is a little shmup, is that every level that I've played so far has been, like, offered a different, like, sort of level design. I wouldn't say that the gameplay is entirely different.
No, but they've been, like, different shooter experiences.
Like, the one that I'm working on right now, which I unfortunately didn't get a chance to finish just because I was, like, trying to rush through and, you know, do as many street passes as I can, I failed. But it was, like, almost like a little boss battle thing where I had to, like, protect these gems from being taken, and then it opened up this labyrinth, and I'm like, that's way different than the first one where I was just like shooting things.
Yeah, I love it. Like, sometimes it's like, oh, this is like a level in Gradius, and sometimes it's like, oh, this is like a level in like Twinbee or something.
Like, for a $5 game, it's like, seriously, of course, yes, it does require you to street pass, so unlike me, you have to actually get out there and meet people and be outside your house. But, you know, for a $5 street pass game, like, it's a really competent shmup.
Yeah, I'm really into it. Unless you have anything else to say about the new Street Pass Plaza games, I think it's time to move forward.
Yes, so let's talk about
Smash or Trash. So this week we have a Trash, a Smash, and a Bonus Smash.
A triple triad.
It is a triple triad. How appropriate, because we are, in fact, talking about Final Fantasy. If you are a gamer on the internet in the last 2 weeks, you probably saw this rather, how do you say, provocative piece on Game Life over on Wired. Sorry, my computer was being kind of really laggy for a moment. Called Final Fantasy Isn't Dying. It's Already Dead. In this piece, of course, the inimitable Chris Kohler went over all of the reasons why, after an excerpt from a question-and-answer session that took place on July 27th about the fan service in Lightning Returns Final Fantasy XIII, he basically feels like Final Fantasy as a brand has gotten to the point where it's just otaku, pandering, and fan service.
Can I just say that I love that he referred to boob jiggling as mammarial undulations.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty clever way to say that.
Even though this is our trash for the week, I have to say, great choice of words.
Well, you know, my thing is, this is a well-written article. It's well put together. The argument is made in a compelling way to the degree that, you know, I don't agree with it, but I see his point. I see what he's working toward. My real problem is that he wrote this whole beautiful piece, and with a really derogatory connotation and a really negative perspective, I would argue, based on an interview with game designers and developers with a magazine that is known for being an otaku fanboy pandering, like, fan wank sort of fan service-y magazine. Like, that's what this specific Q&A was about. It was with a fan service magazine, effectively. So of course they gave fan service-y answers. But that didn't matter to Wired's author when they wrote this. And so for that point, I disagree with it. For our hits, we have basically a really incredible smash from U.S. Gamer, and of course, this is from, I don't know if Parrish himself wrote this, but this is from Jeremy Parrish's
contributions from him and some of the other staff.
Basically discussing why, while they appreciate what Wired had to say on the matter, you know, they sort of do a roundtable about whom at the roundtable thinks Final Fantasy is dead, why and why not. Because they don't agree with Wired, and they felt it was important enough to put their foot down and say why. So I absolutely recommend reading both the Trash and Smash this week. You know, Smash and Trash is something we do here every so often. It's more of a recurring segment at this point, where we try to point out sort of what we want to see in games journalism and what we don't want to see in games journalism. And I really feel like this is perfect, because we have one outlet running a story that is just negative, bashing, and they didn't really, if you ask me, I would say that they didn't report all the facts in the case. And then you have another outlet saying, hey guys, I appreciate your opinion, but I disagree with it. And it's self-policing within the games journalism sub-industry, and I really appreciated it.
And, yeah, definitely, I agree. I'm sorry, I'm really excited about this bonus smash that we have. Can I talk about it really quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
It is from Edge, and it's called The Making of Final Fantasy VI. It is just a really well-researched, well-written look at the development of Final Fantasy VI. One of the things that I thought was kind of neat is how the different people involved with VI kind of were involved with the character stories, because really, when you think about it, VI is really this series of vignettes about all these people coming together in this world.
Did you say vignettes?
I said vignettes.
Oh.
And so, you know, Yoshinori Kitase was involved with Stellis and Gao's stories. Kaori Tanaka, co-creator of Xenogears, was involved with Edgar and Sabin's stories. Sabin? I call him Sabin, even though it's probably Sabin. Shadow and Setzer were, Tatsuya Nomura was responsible for them. And, Sakaguchi-san did the Lock and Terra stuff, which, my personal favorite. So, if you're a fan of Final Fantasy VI, please check this out. There's also some,
well, to me, the
great Yoshitaki Amano-san, art.
To me, the real takeaway from this that I thought was really incredible was that a game of this incredible size and scope, even for its time, and even now looking back, it's just a huge, beautiful, incredible masterpiece of a game, was done more or less in 1 year's time.
That's so amazing.
So, again, this entire piece is worth reading. We highly recommend it. We're talking about the making of Final Fantasy VI over at edgeonline.com. You can, of course, find a link to this and any and other articles that we have discussed here on GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org.
On our website, GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org.
With all that having been said, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to be very kind, but it's time to cut you off and move to our next topic.
No, that's fine.
So do it.
So, it's time for our social links.
Which also means we're nearing the end of the program.
Although we have a lot of social links this week, so I'll try and keep it quick. So,
you're on a timer. Better do it.
Oh, boy. But we have so much great feedback that I don't want to cut it off. So, we had a question of the week this week. Our question of the week was, this week we're talking about the inaugural edition of the GamerX convention. Did you attend? What did you think? Would you go again? And we got some responses. Renee from Koopa Club said, why, yes. Yes, I did attend. My thoughts on Gamer X. I very much enjoyed the convention and the opportunity to meet many people that I spoke to online and have had the pleasure of podcasting with. Many of them I met for the first time and had a great time hanging out with them. The convention itself, I had some minor issues that other people had expressed. Not having a schedule of events with times and rooms available at start of convention. Small hallways that caused congestions, making going from room to room not optimal and not utilizing the rooms fully, i.e. panels that had anticipated many people using a room that only held 60. To be fair, this was the first year the convention was held, so I did expect minor issues. I am definitely going to attend next year. I pre-ordered my badge for next year, hoping to upgrade to VIP. Awesome.
Well done. That was a tremendously long piece of incredibly useful feedback from Renee, so thank you so much, Renee.
Thank you.
And you got through it really quickly, so also thank you.
All right, and we got a little
Something I want to say in response to Renee's message, of course, is that, I agree with a lot of these things, and I talked about them myself here in this episode. I would just want to reiterate something, a point that I wanted to hit during this discussion that I did not hit due to feels, which is that this inaugural event that they held, the first annual Gamer X convention, really felt like a proof of concept to me. This felt like a trial run of a gay gamer convention that they had to run to see if there was interest, to see if it would work, to see if it was going to be problematic.
And boy, did it work.
And I have to say, if this was a test, from where I stand, I watched it pass every test with flying colors.
With flying colors, like flying the rainbow flag.
So I do agree with what you said, Renee. The things you called out as being problematic are things that I thought were problematic, too. But overall, I still thought it was really, really incredible, like you seem to have as well.
Yes.
Thank you for the feedback, Renee.
And Francisco Yu said, I did not attend, unfortunately, but I do plan on going next year. Awesome, and we'll see you there.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you there, Francisco. Thank you for the feedback.
All right, so we've got some feedback that's not about our question of the week, but kind of related, because we have lots of podcast cross-zone feedback. I just have to say thank you to two people very near and dear to us who wished us luck beforehand. GameBuie superfan Dan D tweeted at us before the panel started saying, good luck to our favorite internet radio pirates. Have fun.
You know, I have to contextualize, just before the podcast, I was having a really bad crisis of faith and having really bad anxiety attacks. And I put out some tweets out there that I'm not super proud of about how nervous I was. And I just have to say thank you so much to GameBuie superfan Dan D and to Grandpa from Horde House. You guys really helped me tremendously get through that.
Because Grandpa
experience.
From Horde House tweeted, podcast panel sexiness soon. Yeah, and also, Grandpa, thank you so much for hosting the amazing.
Yeah, we had a panel after party at Grandpa's house, and it was like, I want to go to Grandpa's house again. It's the opposite situation I had when I was a kid.
Right? I'm like, I want to move into Grandpa's house. Anyways, moving forward, lots of amazing feedback after the podcast. I'm going to run through it here. Sly Red Panda on Twitter tweeted, the Gamer X panel podcast crossover with Game Bar, Koopa Club, GameBooey.org, Sky, Rob Roberts, and Fox Van Allen has been the best panel so far. Great job, guys.
I am humbled.
I am humbled. I'm sure there were amazing panels, but...
I have no doubt that other people did better than we, but thank you so much for that. That means a lot to me.
Gaming Hipster tweeted, awesome podcast panel at GamerX. Got to talk to people from Joystick, that was Fox Van Allen, Game Bar, GameBooey.org, Koopa Club, and Horde House. Yee! Thanks.
I think we've already talked about how rad you are today, so I'm just going to move forward. But thank you so much for your feedback. It means a lot to me.
Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio tweeted, big thanks to Koopa Club, GameBooey.org, Game Bar, Fox Van Allen. Let's do this again next year.
Yes. Clock it now, bitches.
Very special guest from last week's episode, along with Rob Roberts, was TempTRP on Twitter, who tweeted, great podcasting panel at GamerX, GameBooey.org. OLR, Koopa Club, Fox Van Allen, Game Bar. I didn't probably need to read all the ads, but thanks, Tim. Twitter user So Fresh So Daryl tweeted, podcast crossover was amazing, also very easy on the eyes.
Hey. I know who he talking about.
Me too. Koopa Club tweeted, Gamer X has been a hoot. Our panel with the amazing GameBooey. .org, Game Bar, and Sky was so cool. So awesome to see so many show up.
We like you guys, too.
Twitter user Onslaught7 tweeted, I love the panel. Thanks, guys. Twitter user Ginger Brandon tweeted, super awesome panel, subbing to them all. Thank you so much to both of you.
This is incredible because, you know, some of these tweets I hadn't seen before right now, and I'm already getting all verklempt again. Like, this really has meant so absolutely... tremendously much to me. Thank you all so much. I'm sorry to continue.
GamerFrag on Twitter has been dying to know if the GamerX panel was recorded.
It has.
And hopefully we'll be able to link it to you soon on GameBooey.org. There was one that you wanted to save for...
We'll save it for the end.
For the end, right? So, Kiki Tosario on Twitter, who is Ricardo from Soul Live Studios, Son of Nor, said, because I had been tweeting with him... And he said, oh, I'm actually listening to yours right now, GameBooey.org. It's super long, and every minute is entertaining. So good, and thanks. Aw.
Aw, thank you. You know, I'm always very concerned with the length of our podcasts. Yeah. I have a lot
of
anxiety about that, but I'm happy to hear that you enjoyed it.
I have to mention that Ricardo was talking to me for a while. He was really trying to put together a Spanish-language gaming podcast because he's from Ecuador, and he's like, you know, there aren't really... any, like, Spanish-language gaming podcasts out there, let alone, like, the community. So I really look forward to hearing that, and I'm really touched that our panel kind of inspired you to pursue that.
I honestly, again, you know, it's like I was talking about earlier. The most gratifying thing about this was really reaching out to the community and saying, you know, use your voice, and seeing that people want this encouragement because a lot of people want to do a show, and it's not hard. I know that I make it sound like our show is awful, but it's not. I'm really proud of what we do, and I really want everyone to experience this and have a show, too, because it's so fun, and it's so cool, and it's just really great.
Anthony A. Over on Facebook said, you guys had one of the best panels out there. There were tons of good ones, too, but you guys defo ranked into that group. I love the term defo, by the way. I use it all the time. Thank you, Anthony. And
thank you, Anthony.
Nishoba78 on Twitter said, my GamerX blog also mentions GameBooey.org no less than 15 times and Game Bar, and we'll link you to that over on GameBooey.org.
GameBooey.org.
He had some really nice things to say about GameBooey, and in particular Captain Spike, who I thought did an amazing job representing our show on the panel. Don't cry.
I've known Nishoba for a really long time. He's a really good... He's good people, and I really, really appreciate this blog post that he wrote and the nice things that he said.
Yeah.
And thank you for the kindness that you've said here today, Slagkick. I thought that you did a really incredible job, too.
Thank you. You were amazing. And the last one I want to share for Podcast Crosszone, because we still have other social links to share.
Oh, girl, make
it quick.
The last
one I want to share is from an unusual source that we're used to, Gamer Connect.
Oh, excellent.
Mecha Dragon on Gamer Connect said, really enjoyed the panel. Lots of fun. I have a bunch of new podcasts to listen to. I'm pretty sure I can't read the URL with repeating GameBuie.org twice in my head. Mission accomplished.
Yeah, that's why we do it here on GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org. So, there was one more that we saw on Tumblr, of all places, from Forju.
Oh, I wanted to do that at the very end of the episode.
Oh, you want to do that at the very end of the episode?
Alright, so we got a feedback from a Japanese reader. And this is basically why I have been sipping Four Loko all night. I have a lot of anxiety about this. I don't really read a lot of Japanese anymore. I definitely don't read a lot of kanji anymore.
Girl, I'm just glad that you're not making me read this, because we know what happens when I try to read Japanese. And this message deserves to be read by someone who can actually read Japanese.
I mean, this is going to be really awful, though. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try. So.
Go ahead.
Podcast Crosszone Ochoko. Gemu Jikyoke and Nadoke no Podokyasuto Seisaku Sha Rokuri o Atsumeta Toku Sesshon deta. Hitokoto de Iu to Niko Niko Cho Kaigi de Ninki Pi no Toku o Yatsu Tera Yona Imeji Daroka. Niko Niko Cho Kaigi Mita Koto Nai Kedo. Jibun wa Podokyasuto Kita Koto Nai no de. Yo iro to shinsen de omoshiroi kata desu. Nihon no game Zelda toka no wadai ga nando mo dete. Shinkinkan mo atashi ne bangumi tsukuri wa netowaku tsukuri SNS, Facebook and Twitter chodaiji to iu no ga zenin no soi mitai da. Doyatsu te shichou Shao o fuyasu ka no wadai kara bijinesu to shite no douga bangumi apu no hanashi mo chou koto fureteta.
Well done.
Of course, the long and short of this, as I understand it, is that this person wasn't quite sure what he was getting into. He thought it might have been like a panel at the Niko Niko Dogan Super Meeting, which is, of course, a Japanese fan festival put on by Niko Niko Douga, which we actually have discussed here on the show when Nintendo sponsored the 2013 Niko Niko Super Conference, or Super Meeting, just different translation. Back in December, they announced that they would be supporting this year's event in April. But basically, he wasn't sure what he was getting into. He saw that we discussed a lot of Japanese games, in particular Zelda, which, for those of you that were there, was the Koopa Club podcast. They recently did a feature on the Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons games, and that came up multiple times in the podcast.
As did Tinglecast.
Crosszone. As did Tinglecast. Yeah, that's still something I remain very proud of to this day, you know. And basically just that, he's interested in podcasts now. And it was really impressed upon him that, networking is super important. We talk a lot about Twitter and Facebook when we're doing these things. And, he came and he reviewed it. And he reviewed quite a few panels. I say he. I am assuming gender. It could be she. I sort of mentally try to think back, because there was a picture posted from this where this person was sitting. And I try to think about, like, oh, who was in that corner? But I can't really see past a really awesome pink mohawk in my memory, so. Anyway, thank you so much for your feedback. It really means a lot that you came to our panel.
That was Tumblr user.
I'm having a really hard time seeing whether you really liked our podcast or not. You sound really, formal, but I hope that you liked it. I really hope that we had
that
something
for you.
That
was Tumblr user Forduhanske. And I'm going to finish this episode up with some feedback from episode 33, our two-part A-side and B-side rhythm gaming episode. Presumably, most of these people are talking about the B-side. April R. over on Facebook said, OMG, yay! Thank you. Rob Roberts, a.k.a. Sky, on Twitter gave us a shout-out. He said, if you like music games, be sure to hear the epically long GameBuie.org podcast. I guessed it on. Thank you for shouting us out. Rob, I think after you mentioned us on air on, you mean you've always mentioned us on air, but I think after you mentioned that you guested, our Google Plus ones went up like fivefold. So
we have five now.
No, we have like 50.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't even know that many people used Google Plus, so thank you, Google Plusers. TimTRP also said, thanks for having me on. We had a blast with both of you. I hope to do it again soon. ActDef, who is over on the VOG network a lot, said, Beaten Groovy is still available and linked us to the Marketplace link on Xbox.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So just Rob Roberts said, that's unfortunate. And then ActDef followed that up with, by the way, great show on Rhythm Games. Thank you, ActDef.
Thank you, ActDef. He actually has, I've been playing Team Fortress 2 with that guy. He's really great and also pretty good.
Awesome. Jeremy from Koopa Club tweeted us about Food Buoy Extra. He said, what if bread could be made into French toast with, like, no effort? Button press and bam, French toast. Hashtag Food Buoy Extra.
I would never leave the house.
That would be my dream.
That, like, I would die of overconsumption of French toast, and it's, like, I'm upset that I don't have that now.
He died of the consumption of French toast.
How very dare you.
Dr. Tatsuya posted on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
Saying, fantastic episode, just a couple small corrections from what Rob was saying, just for accuracy's sake. 2DX16 was Empress, though in all fairness, I suppose it could be called Princess, too. Everything was pink and purple and very feminine. Hey! 19 was Linkul, and 20 was Tricoro, short for Tricolor, not sure what that's supposed to mean. And Beatmania 3 had a few sequels between the first game and the final, mainly just Append Core Remix and versions based on 6th Mix and 7th Mix. Although I will say I echo Rob's sentiments at the end there. I too miss the days of the arcade, the camaraderie, everyone getting together to have fun and play games together, trying to compete for that perfect score or beat that boss song. Good times. Wow, awesome, Dark Tetsuya.
Yeah, I like Dark Tetsuya a lot. We'll that was a really great comment.
We'll have to get you on if we do a music game part 2.
Well, I've been thinking about doing a music games part 2 because we didn't get enough in those 5 hours. And maybe I'll have Dark Tetsuya instead of Rob Roberts.
Oh, my. Speaking of oh, my, Cheeto16 on Twitter, who is also Francisco Yu, who we read the Facebook comment from earlier, did the Game Buoy Extra, tweeted directly at me, as you had instructed, because it was about the game we had talked about, saying, I imagine the penis control to be a high-tech fleshlight. Hashtag Game Buoy Extra.
Just move forward. Like, I'm not, like, oh my.
Kiki Tosario, a.k.a. Ricardo, and I'm sorry if I'm butchering your Twitter handle, let us know that Pump It Up was huge in Ecuador, not DDR. So
now, see, that's interesting to me because I thought that was the case. I feel like all of my international friends were way more into Pump than they were into DDR.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's always interesting, like, I know I do not by any means mean to compare Ecuador and Brazil, but Brazil was huge about Master System, if I'm not mistaken.
Uh-huh. No, my understanding is that you can still buy that stuff there.
So it's just interesting to know the regional differences.
I just want to say to all of our listeners right now, we are, just by experience, a very U.S.-focused show. I try to cast that net wider when I can.
And I'm grateful that we've had a...
If you have experiences that don't match ours and you're from a different region, please tweet at us. I love hearing stuff like that, and I feel like most of our listeners are, you know, really intelligent, thoughtful people that would really appreciate hearing about that, too.
And this is why I'm excited that Ricardo's so interested in doing a Spanish language podcast. It'll also help me brush up on my Spanish. J-Lowl, which makes me think of, like, J-Law, like J. Lawrence with an L in LOL.
That's probably the point.
No, but it's, continue. Someone from VG Realness.
Saying, oh,
just listen to episode 33A of GameBuoy.org and thankful for their VG Realness support. Really appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the A side. You were probably the only one. Thank you. and VG Realness said, yes, thank you so much for your support. So much love. Aww. And just to wrap up, like I said a million times, we just got some other general feedback. Francisco, a.k.a. Cheetow16, said, Caramel Coconut Cream. I love every time you start singing the pizza song on GameBuoy.org. Gimme pizza.
P-I-Z-Z-A. Give me pizza. Did I happen to say?
All of these super kind comments are making me dive into a pool of emojis right
now. Yeah, because he also tweeted, I come for Spike Point's voice, but stay for Slack singing.
Aww.
Oh, well, I hope you enjoyed this episode, then.
I am so red right now. Like, my blush is practically a viscous fluid.
And he also tweeted that he said, I just placed my order for the UK version of Freshly Picked Tingle's Rosy Ruby Land. GameBuoy.org's Tinglecast has changed my life.
Woohoo! I'm actually, you know, I have to say, I know I joke a lot about the Tinglecast, but I'm actually tremendously proud of that episode.
Me too. He also posted on Facebook. Oh, so much awesome feedback from him this week. He said, this is my attempt at a GameBuoy tea for Animal Crossing New Leaf peeps. We'll link it on GameBuoy.org because just like Dan D's, I'm going to have to start playing Animal Crossing again and put these two designs, Dan D's and Francisco Yu's designs on my display and my,
yeah, I will have to do that as well.
My shop.
I, you know, honestly, because of that message, I'm seriously about to start playing Animal Crossing again. Like, yep. It is on you that I'm playing Animal Crossing again.
And Strawberry Wish on Twitter is going to be very happy with this episode because she said, one of the best things about GameBuoy.org podcast is that they are long. None of this 45-minute bullshit. Love it.
Thank you so much. As ever and always, you remain my spirit animal. I really super appreciate it. And, you know, I always worry about the show length. I know that we go on and on. It's just I'm really passionate about this stuff. I live for it.
Yep.
And thank you so much for listening.
Two more tweets to round us out. And who better to have these tweets from than Jeremy, a.k.a. Fix Your Face on Twitter from Koopa Club. He said, Samba de Amigo with dildos. Yes. Hashtag so much flopping.
That's the best hashtag I've seen today.
So much flopping.
Hashtag and so much flopping.
He also said, wrapping up the latest GameBuoy.org episode, then moving on to VG Realness. Hashtag indie. Hashtag podcast. Hashtag supportive hashtags. You're my favorite.
Yeah, no, me
you,
too.
Also, you are all our favorite. And if you...
But specifically, Jeremy.
If you think that we are your favorite, you can give us feedback on iTunes. We love your iTunes subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We like your Facebook likes. We fucking love Twitter. We like to tumble on Tumblr, and we would love if you plus one us on Google Plus. You can find all of these along with our email addresses at GameBuoy.org, but of course...
GameBuoy.org.
An easy-to-remember way to email us that'll get to us is by mailing mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
Mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
And Mailbuoy will send it right
mailbuoy.
Over. Mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org. Mailbuoy.
Mailbuoy.
He's so cute.
He is. No, he's super cute.
We will get your email. Captain Spike, I understand you have some shout-outs.
As ever and always, I want to shout-out to Koopa Club. If you like what we do, it is very unlikely that you wouldn't like what they do. Check these guys out. You know, they're great. They appeared on the panel with us, and they're just superb. They put on a great show.
They're basically our brothers from another mother's.
They are, right? I think I heard someone use a sister-sister reference, or maybe sister shows.
Sister.
Never knew how much I
That was last week. Yeah.
So, you know, I also want to shout out Video Game Realness, serving up a weekly dose of gaming chit-chat among friends. That's another LGBT show. I love listening to them. It is crazy to me. They just put out their, like, seventh episode, and it's, like, super professional. Mm-hmm. Like, they have tons of listeners. Great show. They deserve all of the listening they get. Every time a new episode hits, I prioritize listening to it.
For sure.
And last, but most certainly not least, Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom I blatantly steal ever so many of my cues. I speak, of course, specifically about Rob Roberts, who, if you haven't already, guested on our show last week to talk about rhythm games, and you absolutely, absolutely, absolutely should listen to it, even though I know that's an awful tall task. Slagkick, who do you shout out to?
I'd like to shout out to our sisters from Podcast Crosszone, from Game Bar and Horde House. Game Bar is a podcast that fills your brain space with hours of gay video game commentary. They're kind of like a gay video game for your home companion. Horde House is the place about all things online gaming, but never too seriously. And, of course, we love to shout out to our other friends over at the Nerdgasm Network. The wildest group of Shock Talk video game radio DJs. podcasters that you'll ever come across. Sorry, getting a little bit loopy here. Girls Gone Wow, where you can get a female perspective on the world's most popular MMO, even if the subscription numbers are declining.
And that was really good.
I did not mean that to shade against Girls Gone Wow, because I love them. It's just a little bit of WoW shade, which I still love WoW. My subscription is actually still active right now. And last but certainly not least, Video Game Outsiders, you're typing really loud. You must be planning next week's Game Buoy.
Okay.
The Video Game Outsiders is the podcast about video gaming from the average player's perspective. And thank you to the late, great Zelda Reorchestrated for our wonderful theme music that goes like this. Sign us out. I'm getting a little bit rummy here.
As ever and always, we also want to thank all of you who have listened and gotten to this point in the show. I know that we can be quite a handful, especially when we're ever so emotional as we are tonight. I don't normally do this, but since you've stuck through us, I just want to say, since you have stuck through with us, I just want to say, coming up shortly, we have an episode on Disney games coming up, as well as, an introduction to the Kingdom Hearts series in advance of the release of Kingdom Hearts 1.5 HD Remix. As ever and always, please feel free to reach out to us. I know we've already covered that specifically. Thank you kindly for your time. Keep thinking, keep gaming, and hitomo tsukurishimo.
You can start using ones that I understand.
I'm going to release that as a record. It's going to be super, like, Grace Jonesy.
Okay, let's do this.
Is that what Grace Jones sounds like to you?
All right, let's get this going.
There was also a really well...
My thumb is stuck in this horn.
All right, one more segment to go before our Gamer X discussion. So, let's roll in the deep. I'm so sorry that I'm sloppy tonight.
I almost jumped in like, rolling in the deep, rolling in the deep.
That's not the right Adele song.
What? I was just tweeting.
How dare you?
That Four Loko is awful. This can is still mostly full, and I'm like, I kind of just want to throw it away.
You should still sell it on eBay, but partially...
Virtually undrank.
Can I have a sip?
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking awful. Don't spit it out. Just be aware, it's awful. Fucking butt.
Is that too inappropriate?
See you.
It tastes like cough syrup, kind of.
Yeah, well, it's got that scissor.
It does kind of taste like what I imagine scissor would be. It's not that bad, but
I think it's awful.
It just tastes like medicine.
Like, I wiped off the mouthpiece to have another sip, and I'm like, I can't bring myself to do it. All I can smell is Four Loko. That Four Loko fucks you up.
Yeah.
Like, I took another swing, and I'm already like...
Okay, give me another sip so I can catch up with you. Although I have to drive us.
But yeah, no, you shouldn't, because you've got to drive, girl.
Podcast Cross Zone, Old Choco. Gemu Jikyo ke and Nado ke no podcast to seisaku sha rokuri o atsumeta toku session data. Hitokoto de iu to niko niko cho kaigi de ninki pi no toku o yatsu teru yona imeji daru ka. Niko niko cho kaigi mitako tonai kedo. Jibun wa podcast to kita koto nai node, iro iro to shinsen de omoshiro kata desu. Nihon no gemu, Zelda toka, no wadai ga nando mo dete, shinkin kan mo atashi ne. Mangumi tsukuri wa netowaku tsukuri, SNS, Facebook and Twitter, shodaiji, to iu no ga zenin no soi mitai da. Do yatsu te shicho shau o fuyasu ka no wadai kara, bizinesu toshite no douga bangumi apu no hanashi mo chokoto furete ta. See, I can't speak Japanese.
Ah! No matter gay, straight, or bi, lesbian, transgender, life.